Weekend Confirmed is brought to you by the Gamefly app, the must-have app for gamers. The app is free and available now for iPhone, Android, and Palm mobile devices.
T-10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Weekend Confirmed.
Ignition. Liftoff. Liftoff.
Oh, I think we lifted off already. Welcome to Weekend Confirmed, special evening recording session here in the lovely Atlantis Group Santa Monica Studios. My name is Garnet Lee, and I'm joined around the table here by Jeff Cannata.
Two N's, but no tea today. It's all beer.
No tea, just beer.
Nice, I like it.
And sporting his Maple Leafs cap, or as they say there, chapeau.
Yeah, that's how everyone in Canada says
it. That is how they say it. I hear that's very in. It's very French. That would be Mr.
Zav Damatis. Yes. I'm going to correct you now.
No, I was going to say Zav Damatis.
I was just thinking it's funny that you're like very French. Like, I love how you mispronounce everything.
I understand in L.A. your name is actually Zach.
Zach, yeah. So we'll get into this later. I was just telling them every time I order a drink at Starbucks and they're like, what's your name? I say Zav. I get my cup back and it says Zach without fail. They're like, whatever.
I kind of want to call him Zach Damatis, but then I think about Screech and all the rest of the gang. And
I do have a giant cell phone.
That's kind of awesome. And then our official in charge of the alcohol, because she's a professional bartender, as well as an awesome host at Clever Games, Andrea Renee.
Hello, everyone.
Returning champion, Andrea Renee.
I do want to let everyone listening know that we have decided to drink during this episode, so we encourage you to drink along with us. It'll make it a more fun experience for everybody.
We cannot be held accountable for what rule set you might use.
I would like to apologize in advance.
It sounds, based on some of the comments I've read, it sounds like a lot of people are already drinking when they listen to us.
But hey, we've got awesome games to talk about. We've got Battlefield 3, which is sure to fuel plenty of fires here in the first segment. Zav has played Uncharted 3, which we're all excited about. Mm-hmm. Jeff, so much so that he's got an awesome Halloween costume set up for it. So
yeah, cool. This is the Halloween episode, right? Mm-hmm. Spooky, scary.
Yep.
That's right. So wait, so we got...
Man becomes a wolf, wolf becomes... Go ahead.
Rawr!
What are you being for Halloween?
Nothing.
The Lady of the Night.
Nothing.
Apparently.
Wait, come nothing. On. Nothing.
You know, so here's the thing with me and Halloween is I used to always have these like inspired, elaborate ideas, and then
you just gave up on work, whatever,
and I just never follow through on them. And it's sort of like it's my cooking, but on an even worse scale. So like my cooking is always like I come up with these elaborate plans to make stuff, and I like wind up in the kitchen for hours. But then, you know, at least that's finishable. But like these costumes would be just ridiculous.
Just go as the elusive man. That's like the easiest costume ever.
Yeah, it's a hit at the party.
Just get some special contacts, and that's it.
Everyone's gonna get it immediately.
He's like, "What? No, doesn't work."
Not working at all.
All right, that's fine. You can judge me right now.
Did we mention that we're drinking a lot?
Yes, we're drinking. And I
all right, so what's
Zav's not going. Zav's not doing anything either.
I'm not, no.
What? Come on.
I don't
know.
Should
go as an American.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I have credibility to do that. Although, I saw on this website, they're selling this awesome, they call it like the Canadian winter hat. And it's like a hat that also has a clip on the bottom, so it looks like you're wearing a beard.
I saw that. Did you see that on Lightcool?
Yes, that's what it was. Yeah, I really wanted to order that, but they're sold out. I would have went as like the what's the guy who has the tissues? What's this guy? What's his name?
The guy with the tissues?
The guy with the tissues.
Who's the guy on the logo? Bounty or Scotty? The guy.
The brawny guy?
Brawny, there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
The guy with the tissues.
There you go.
All right, so video games happened.
I don't know.
Anyway, so we've got all that. We've got Dance Central 2, because... Last year, we were all hyped for it, and this year, none of us have played it except for Andrea. That's kind of weird. Yeah. It's kind of weird.
I'm on the dance periphery.
Fun. You'll get a little sweaty, just letting you know.
You get a little hot?
It's hot, a little sweaty. Yeah.
Nice. We like that. We'll probably get hot and sweaty in here, too. There's some news that happened. I don't know. Anything interesting that we want to talk about ahead of time, Zav?
A little game got announced. Grand Theft Auto.
Anything else interesting?
Also, I was at BlizzCon last week. We haven't really talked about
it. Oh, shit. We didn't even do that. You guys were at BlizzCon.
There's lots of BlizzCon. Jeff and I ran into you to the BlizzCon.
It's true.
Who fell over first?
He was doing the panda roll.
Yeah, we were both pandaing it out.
Stupid.
Monking.
Wow, so jumped the shark. Come on.
Really?
Yeah, let's talk about that first.
The panda's what did it for you? The panda.
The giant tailed space alien that looks like a goat. It didn't do that already?
It's just Kung Fu Panda in WoW. I think
now,
it's interesting.
Now, you have to understand that pandas were already an established part of the lore much before Kung Fu Panda came out, Andrea, so don't...
They were Warcraft 3, the Brewmaster, of course.
Of course, but we all know that if there
of
had
course,
been no
guys.
Kung Fu Panda...
Of course.
Who doesn't know this?
If there had been no Kung Fu Panda, there would not be a Pandaren expansion.
Oh, and it is blatantly playing off of that. I mean, come on, the screens, they look like stills from the movie.
I think it's brilliant. I think it's absolutely brilliant.
I like it, too.
Because... Sweater is coming out, which is my new acronym for Star Wars The Old Republic.
Sweater. All right, I'll give it to you.
It's got to happen. It's going to catch on.
I like it.
Sweater's coming out, and that is nailing down the hardcore audience. And Blizzard goes, who are the untapped people that we gave them an awesome expansion last time with Cataclysm that is directly in the wheelhouse of the hardcore, directly in the wheelhouse of the people who love dark fantasy.
Mom, I'm canceling my free realms. I got to get me a panda and WoW.
Hey. Hey, you mock, but it's awesome. It's awesome.
I really, really like how
and
Blizzard
pet,
was like,
pets,
yeah,
pets.
The pet combat system. I really like how Blizzard was like, you know what? There's been all this death and destruction and darkness in the WoW universe, but they're like, we want to take it like out of there and kind of introduce this kind of like peaceful,
harmonious
place.
Yeah, if only it hadn't been being done
place.
For like 5 or 6 years with Digimon and everything else,
dude. But they're gonna do it, and they're gonna own
awesome.
That space.
Oh my god, it's gonna be so awesome.
It's really cool.
Why are you
man.
Such a
Come
hater?
Come on, Pokemon's cool.
Wait, are you asking Garnet Lee mostly, why he's a hater?
Mostly to antagonize Jeff at the moment.
Well, I believe that Skylanders is cool. The new Pokemon, but
that actually that's is that have you watched the thing? Giant Bomb videos with that? Those guys had a blast with that fucking game.
It's I have the Skylanders at my office right now. They're really fun. Like they're so fun.
Is there
to play
any
with.
Kid that wants one?
I do.
I don't know any kinda. Children.
Why is it fun to play
if
with?
If I knew children to ask, I would ask.
Legally, she's not allowed to be within 50 feet.
It's an unposable action figure. There's no action in the action figure. Why is that fun?
The action's all virtual.
Exactly.
How many toys did you have that didn't have
You should
the
be accustomed
arms.
With virtual action.
None. I threw them in the garbage.
They were shit,
I had fully
they?
Articulated. All my G.I. Joes had 16 points of articulation.
And they were all in the original packaging.
No,
did you
but
have the
back
Kung
to,
Fu Punch
yeah.
one where you press the button?
No, but back to BlizzCon, they also had some other stuff going on there, too. They had a build of Heart of the Swarm for people to play, which was cool.
Did you play that?
I did not because I suck at StarCraft. StarCraft is an art form, and people that are good at StarCraft know this. Like, you need to be able to do multiple things at the same time and do them all really well. Like, have you ever watched, like, competitive StarCraft? It's
What's your
APMs
at? What's your APMs
I like,
at? Huh?
I like StarCraft is an art form. That's some deep
I like
shit.
How, I like
no,
how
seriously, being
complicated
good at
games.
Being
I like
good
how complicated
StarCraft
games
is
for
on
you
a whole other level.
Is like you have to do multiple things at once. That's why Andrea, every time she plays Call of Duty, she just stops, aims, shoots, starts walking again.
Well, Heart I'm not that bad. Cool,
also, it's like Resident Evil.
Exactly. Oh, man.
No, but it requires a certain level of precision that a lot of gamers, I think, find intimidating.
Okay, so if that's the case, what do you think about their idea to make Blizzard Dota as a map expansion or a custom map set for StarCraft II? Because StarCraft, I agree, I think StarCraft II has already super established, you know, borders of this is the core community and these guys know how to play this game, and if you're going to walk into our world, you better be ready to have your ass handed to you until you figure out how to play the game.
Right.
And yet they go the other way with Blizzard Dota. Small, like Zav, you played it, and then the whole thing is it's supposed to be easier, more approachable.
It's a lot
quicker.
More. Yeah, it's a lot more like League of Legends is. It's not as hardcore as something like Heroes of New Earth or like the original Defense of the Ancients. I think that some people will be a little upset with some of the stuff that they're changing. Like for example, you get points for the guys that are on the creepers that are on your side. Like if you end up killing. If your team ends up killing some of the other team's creepers, for example, then you get points for them, even if you're not the one who kills them. Like, it shares the points that way, so it's a little bit more liberal with it, with those points. And I'm not...
Well, the jungle system is way changed also.
Yeah, and I'm
now
not
Now we're
expert.
Getting into some Dota nerdery right here, brother.
And this is where we have to have full stop, because my written preview that's going up is the one that's more researched, because I hadn't really... The first time I ever played a Dota game other than, what was it, Monday Night Combat?
You mean a MOBA game?
Whatever. it was the first time I ever played was
not
Dota.
On board with that.
Multiplayer online battle arena.
There you go.
Not on board with that, but you know. Whatever.
You're not. What are you on board with? There's a discussion. What should we call these games?
I think it's an open discussion. I don't have an alternative solution, but I'm not on the board with MOBA. I think
team-based crawler launching heroic conquest games.
That's easy to remember.
Or tuberculosis. Tuberculosis.
For sure. Yeah. There's sweater and tuberculosis.
I think it's really cool.
Have you guys
though,
played
that
the Syphilis expansion, by the way?
No, we haven't. I think it's really cool, though, how they're bringing in all the heroes from the Blizzard universe. I think that they kind of
Absolutely.
Have an edge there.
That's
I think
cool.
that that's really awesome.
And look, these guys are very smart, like with the core competencies from WoW of establishing in raids that everybody has a role. And one of the things they want to do with this game is that the heroes will have roles and that you will have, you know, some team members who are very much support class characters, some who are tanks. You know, the four they showed were like classic archetypes for raiding. And the difference in this game is that in the jungle, when you go into the jungle, in other Dota games, you're earning specific power-ups for your hero.
Yeah.
In this game, it's targeted towards improving your entire group. And those bonuses tend to, at least from what I saw, go to your mobs that are marching across in the lanes.
Yeah, the creeper, yeah. The creeper alley.
Which we didn't explain. Some people may not know what creepers are. They're like, that's that dude who follows me home from work.
Yeah, it's
I have a lot of those.
Garnet walks home holding a mirror, by the way, everyone. So the thing that I think is, wow. just like it took a little while and everyone eventually got there. No, but the thing that I find interesting about it too is also from what I understand, in some of the more hardcore ones, you really need to collect a lot of money and resources in order to buy certain items.
That's right.
This one, you sort of build energy based on like the power. Your items become more powerful the more that you play with it and use them. So like that's a little bit different. And again, like I have like a shit ton of notes because I hadn't really played any of these kinds of games before. But it seems really cool. For me, at least going in, it was fun. I got a couple of kills, mostly got my ass kicked. But from what I understand, it has the same problem that all of these types of games has, which is once you start losing and your team starts losing,
it's hard to dig out.
It's really hard to dig out.
So back to my original question. How appealing is it then to have one of these games that is simplified? Because the idea of it still in the Blizzard axiom here is easy to pick up and play, difficult to master. Mm-hmm. How appealing is that in this world where we already think that these are hard to master games and hard to play? Does making it easy to play have any bearing on how many people want to play it?
Well, I think that, I mean, the first thing before you even talk about how easy it is to play, it's like you have to have StarCraft even to get it, right?
That's actually has not been determined. They are looking at a number of different free-to-play models, but one of the models that they are looking at would be a freely distributed to everybody on Battle.net model, where if you owned like Heart of the Swarm or StarCraft II, other X packs, right, then you would get special content. And they didn't even say what they had like different ideas. Like maybe that would be special power ups, and maybe it would be special heroes.
Oh, now I remember this. Yeah, they were very vague about the
because
whole
they haven't
thing,
decided
right?
yet. They haven't decided because at this moment, look, Riot Games has been super successful with League of Legends on the free to play model.
Absolutely,
and there's no
Heroes
way.
Heroes of New Earth as well, right?
I don't think Heroes of New Earth has been as successful as League of Legends.
Yeah, League of Legends has like 1 million monthly users.
Concurrent.
Daily users, isn't
whatever,
it?
Whatever.
It's something
not
ridiculous.
Concurrent.
From what I understand, the guys at Uber, I remember them
Hold on,
me
we'll
that.
Pull some facts out of our ass. It's We Can Confirm. Boom!
That's what
no,
we're
no,
great
I'll
at.
Look up the real. I'll look
the
up the
The guys
real
at Uber Entertainment told me that the Xbox 360 version of Monday Night Combat sold extremely well versus the PC version, which actually didn't sell as well. So
you know what, though? The problem with those games, and by those games, I mean...
Like offshoots of it, you mean?
Online, multiplayer-focused digital content on Xbox is how transient the audience is. They're there for a little bit, and they move on. Section 8, fucking great game. Right. It needed to have a little stickiness so that people would at least start to, I think if it had the least bit of stickiness, you would still be talking about Section 8 right now. You'd still be playing it because it was a really fun online multiplayer game. But that community just moves so fast that it's like, oh, here. They're like the zombie herd walking down the I-10 outside of Atlanta. You know, they're like, okay, we ate all that. Let's move on.
League of Legends daily users, 1.4 million.
1.4 million daily users. Do they define those as active or not active?
Active daily users.
Damn. That is serious.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think it's really hard when you have a game like that, like StarCraft that this is all built off of, to try and steer it the other direction. I mean, that's certainly a lot of what Battlefield has been trying to deal with. And I think that's why they went into the single player game, was to have an entry point, you know, something that says, okay, we know that you all think Battlefield's really hard to play online, so here's a single player campaign. But you guys... Yeah. You guys have played the single player campaign,
yes,
and sort of, and
very differing opinions.
I think it's round one fight.
Round one fight.
So I wrote an article on Shaq. We do this
Almost.
Thing called.
It doesn't work.
We do this thing called the field report, where when we're in the middle of reviewing a game, if we have some impressions we want to sort of drop, we end up writing this thing. And I wrote something on the single player of Battlefield, and within the first four missions, there were so many bugs on the PC version of that game. I mean, first of all, launching it took me a little while because it wouldn't accept the browser I was using. I was using the latest version of Chrome, and it wouldn't work. It told me to install the plugin, and then the plugin wouldn't work, so I had to install Firefox, and then eventually it worked. Like,
I did not have that issue with Chrome.
Okay. Eventually, I've gone back, tried it again, and it's working now. So I don't know if there was a problem. This was the day it launched at like 10 o'clock when it actually went live. So there was that. Then there was a weird thing where after the first level, you see a cutscene, and it's a cutscene where you are explaining a situation that has happened, and then it goes to another scene, and...
This is right after you get off the space station.
This is right after the space station. I'm trying to be purposely vague because, like, on this show, if you talk about how King Kong died at the end of the movie, everyone's like, oh my God.
King Kong died?
Oh, come on.
Sorry, guys. So, basically, the cutscene replayed. And I was like, that's weird. The cutscene just replayed. It stopped in the middle of the cutscene, and then it replayed itself. And then it said loading. I'm like, okay, well, I guess the next level is loading. And then it replayed itself again. It did it three times where it just kept replaying itself over and over again. And then
maybe
that
you
level,
hadn't gotten it yet.
I guess not. It hadn't loaded in Origin yet, apparently. So by the time I got into that level and I was walking through the level, there was, remember NBA Elite 2011, the demo had that like infamous thing of like the, you know, Jesus arm standing in the middle of the character model.
I can't
model
believe
was
you
stuck.
Just invoked NBA Elite 11.
This is exactly what happened in Battlefield, where I got to a point where a lot of the stuff is really scripted, where you're walking through this trench where basically at the side of a fault line, and this guy's supposed to fall out of a Jeep. This Marine falls out of the Jeep because he's dead. When I got around the corner, he was standing there with his arms spread wide open. And then as I approached him...
A miracle happened.
Yeah, exactly. Then I approached him, he disappeared. Another miracle. Third miracle, he falls out of the Jeep. Like, as I got closer... And then you walk
okay,
a little closer...
Okay, so there's some bugs.
There's bugs.
But is that the issue that you have with the game, is there's bugs?
No.
Fighting religious fanatics, that could be an interesting twist in the storyline.
I think maybe we should stop it right there.
have you seen Red State?
I have it. It's awesome.
Bugs aside, I think the first couple missions of the campaign of Battlefield 3... are just flat out boring. I'm just going to say
really?
That.
I'll
yeah.
agree with you.
Okay.
I feel like it's like this really weird dichotomy of like, it's really intense for a couple minutes, and then it's like you just follow these pack of dudes around. And
pack of dudes?
pack of dudes. Like your teammates, your squad mates or whatever. Like I get that it's a team-based cooperative game, like the whole, you know, a lot of the things.
So for you, it's like going to Busby's.
No. You know what bothers me?
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, here's the thing. I feel like... if it's going to be a first-person shooter game, I want to be in control of the action. I don't want to be like this sidekick who's like, I literally have your AI partner telling you exactly what to do every step of the
How
way.
How strongly do you hold other competing shooters in this space, namely the ones they're going after? I mean, we could just say it, obviously. They want to go after Modern Warfare in the
Clearly,
Call
yeah, they've been
how
very
strictly,
open about that.
How strictly do you hold that game to that standard?
Well, what exactly are you asking me?
Does
that bother you?
I
mean, they do the same thing throughout Call of Duties.
Well, to a certain extent, but I feel like there's at least a little bit more leeway there. Like if I was to like leave my teammates, that I
really?
Wouldn't just die instantly. I feel like there was, especially there's this one rooftop mission where if you stray from your team, like you'll get picked off by a sniper.
Well, your
even.
Team can also help you get pushed into the sniper's point
yes,
of view.
Yes, which is another, which
That's
is another
thing I hate
problem.
The most about the game.
That if you take cover in the wrong spot, your AI teammates will literally push you out into
yeah,
fire.
Yeah, because he's supposed to be there. That's where he's scripted to be. You can't stand there, and then they'll just push you like that. Part where you have to crawl away from a sniper bullet and then blow up a building, which everyone's already seen at this point. I was standing near the edge of cover, and the AI was supposed to be there, so he pushed me out of the way in front of the sniper scope.
Why you guys stand there?
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like it's that part of it's ridiculous.
They do break one of my cardinal rules of gaming, and that is there was a moment where I walked and it said, return to game area in 3, 2.
Yeah.
Do not do that, sir.
Yeah.
Sir, I said good day. I said good day. That I mean, there's got
to
be
cardinal rules of gaming are brought to you by Jeff Cannata and the letter J.
Several cardinal rules. I will say they didn't break one of my other cardinal rules, which I really appreciate, is that at no point in that game is there a timer on the screen that says you have to do this in
how about fail states? You hate fail states.
I do.
Did you see the tweet and the video that I put up?
No.
So there's this part in the game where you have to sneak up behind a guy who's in a hallway standing by himself, and you have to sneak up behind him and stab him with your knife. And the prompt comes up, hey, press right trigger or you know, whatever button it is on PC to stab the dude. And if you start walking past it after that point, you just die. You just fall over. And it's like he died of embarrassment. I swear to God, I took a video. It's on YouTube. If you pass that,
he dies of embarrassment.
I guess
he's a very honorable man.
There's no other guy around you. Your guy is totally like whispering.
The bad guy just turns around, looks at him, and goes,
"Not
are
even
you for real."
Not even the guy. He probably went to the bathroom afterwards. He didn't realize I just died of a heart attack in the hallway.
There's also a lot of friendly fire will not be tolerated message. I've never seen more friendly fire will not be tolerated.
Oh,
yeah.
And by the way,
I saw your
the sons of bitches walk your line all the time. Yeah. It's like they've never had any squad training before. You're there in a firing position, and they come right in front of you and put their damn head right in front of your muzzle.
And there is a very
and no one ever puts their head in front of my muzzle.
There's a very elegant solution to that, which is if you're pointed at a friendly, your gun doesn't fire. A lot of games use it. It's very simple. You don't need to show me a message that says friendly fire will not be tolerated. Yeah. That is not fun, nor is it informative or interesting.
It's condescending.
I think back to, remember Full Spectrum Warrior? If you ever aimed your gun toward one of your allies, they would get out of position.
Dude, Full Spectrum Warrior was such an underrated. You know, I loved that game.
I loved that game too.
There's also far too many QTEs in this game.
Oh my God. Now,
God, I hate the QTEs.
Having said all of that, this is a very good game. I think I enjoyed the single player campaign. I finished the single player campaign. I had more moments of OMG, of really fun, exciting. I think I enjoyed the single player campaign more than I enjoyed the single player campaign of Black Ops.
I
disagree.
In the pre-show, we were talking about this, and you didn't like Black Ops so much because of the paranormal stuff.
Yeah.
The whole like mind
I didn't
trip
like it.
Thing.
Now I was really hoping that this game would be more of that. Which is one of the reasons I didn't have the issue you have, Andrea, which is the sort of member of the pack of boys or whatever you call it, the pack of dudes.
Pack of dudes.
Yeah.
Pack of dudes.
They never forget, by the way. Pack of dudes never forget. anyway, I didn't have that issue because I love the idea of being just one soldier in a larger context. You know, I think that's where the real origin of this genre, this sort of subgenre of FPS, is the Medal of Honor games, where it's just one guy who's part of a much larger conflict of World War II, and you just feel like you're small part of and I love that. I love that military, and I really wanted Battlefield to be a return to that because the Call of Duty games have gotten so far away
from
that.
So far afield.
So into popcorn pulp movie stuff that I was really hoping Battlefield would return to that. And of course, the very first thing you do in this game is, you know, you're on top of a subway and you're hanging on the side, a subway car,
exactly.
And you're hanging on the side. And you're right back into Michael Bay territory, which is all well and good. I think that the game does circle around back to being much more interested in that smaller kind of realistic tale. But we are in a subgenre that is defined by being on 11 all the time. But I found so many wonderful, exciting, interesting moments in this game that I overlooked all those little issues that you guys are talking about, and they didn't get to me because I was amazed by what I was looking at and what I was doing so often.
But
it's
not just those little technical things.
I thought the end
There's
was dumb.
Bigger story things that I had trouble with. Prime example, the dogfight scene. Super fun to play. Really awesome to like
early on aircraft
you fight
carrier.
Dogs.
When you take off on the jet from the aircraft
that
carrier.
Michael Vick scenes.
Yeah. And I thought it was beautiful. I thought like the visuals were amazing. Yeah. I thought it was great.
Yeah. So I love that it was a woman.
Finally get a female character and she doesn't have a goddamn line.
She's the pilot. She's got her hands full.
She's going to be the co-pilot and she doesn't say a fucking
no,
word
the
whole time? Are you kidding me right now?
If you read the novelization of Battlefield, she was mute. So now how do you feel right now?
Now you're insensitive.
Now you're insensitive.
Whatever.
Her keeper had her tongue cut out.
I think it's very convenient that the one female military character they have has no line.
I think, look, well, all,
hey, Andrew,
none of
me,
their...
Well, she knows her place.
Wait, let me counter-argue this, though.
My mother was a very decorated military
She's the
front
officer.
Seat.
I just want you to know that
I'm
right
sure
now.
She kept her mouth shut.
But Andrea...
No, she was E9, all right? I'm just saying. People in the military know what that is.
I'm sure that's all. No offense to anyone.
E9's a little gross. That's not bad.
And I'm having a drink of bourbon.
I want to
now.
Apologize to both our female viewers.
Andrew being one of them.
One of them's here.
Yeah. No, I will say that.
But wait, hold on. Before we leave that, I would like to address that a little bit. She's the front seat. I mean, now look, that like, number
She's
one.
She's the back seat.
No, you're the back seat.
Yeah.
Yeah. She is the woman.
Yeah.
You
play
are
as the woman.
You are she.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were playing as a dude sitting behind her.
Mm-mm.
No.
Because, I mean, the whole thing that's very interesting about that is don't we still operate in a U.S. command state where we don't send women into
that's
combat
roles? That's for
infantry.
Even idiot.
We don't send them into combat roles, do
no,
we?
No, that's purely for infantry.
I like what you're
I'm
doing with the pencil
sure.
there, by the way. That's pretty cool.
You like that?
Yeah. Okay, so I will say that there are many really awesome moments in the single-player campaign where you get to play as the military and you're doing really cool military stuff. I think the best two missions in the entire game are when you're playing as the Russians. I think those are the best, and you're not... I mean, I guess there's some spoilers here, so we should...
Don't spoilers yet.
I'm not going to say what it is, but I guess the fact that you play as Russians is a spoiler, and I already said it, and I'm an asshole.
Oh,
but, okay... You play as Russians twice, and you're not military. You're like special forces, like badass guys,
right. He's Spetsnaz.
And yes, and those are the most focused missions where you're going from point A to point B, and you have a very specific goal, and the storytelling is really tight. The context is really interesting. And go ahead, Mr. I have my hand in the air guy.
But Jeff, didn't you say that you missed the big battlefield idea of these games, the big I'm a soldier within a part? And now
that's what I think is ironic.
Oh, sorry, I had something in my throat.
What did she say?
No, continue.
I don't know. I think she threw up. Go, keep going.
What were you thinking? You were going to challenge him on that also?
I'm just saying another series has done that.
Which series? Has done what? What are we talking
about?
Where
you play as American and Russian in the same game?
Oh, no, I'm not.
You're
not
about
saying
to do it again in a couple weeks.
I'm not saying the fact that you play Russian is awesome. I'm saying that those missions, both of them, are the most interesting because you are part of a very highly trained small team doing a very precise like insertion into a moment, and you have clear goal, and you the context is really interesting. It is, those both those missions are awesome.
It's like the scalpel versus the shotgun.
Exactly.
You know, I think that I've played the first four missions on 360 and the first three missions on PC, and my takeaway from this was that it's a accomplished game developer making a freshman effort, trying too hard to be scripted, trying too hard to make that big event, trying too hard to also be a little bit different by being grittier and more realistic and adhering to military protocols or whatever. No, I'm sorry, perceived military protocols, because there's a lot of cool things that are atmospheric. There's a lot of radio traffic.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, that like background atmospheric stuff that's very cool. But then there's so many parts that are just so scripted and so dumb. That first part that you get into, so I feel like this is not spoilery. That first part where you come out of the garage, you get in your first firefight, there are so many trigger points just within that one fight.
Yeah.
It's like you need to go here, and then you have to shoot this guy. And after you shoot that guy, this spawns over here. And after that spawns over here, exactly.
Yeah, and I will agree with you. And in the context of that, and when you create a game that is that scripted, you damn well better be on top of your checkpoint system. Because if you make me go too far back when I die... And then I start to see those points, and it becomes what I like to call Groundhog Day gaming, which is, remember that scene in Groundhog Day where he's like, cool breeze, and the car passes, and Larry drops
that's
his keys.
Great way to put it.
That's exactly the moments that you have in this game. If you die in the same sequence like two or three times, all of a sudden you'd be like, two guys walk out the door.
That's exactly what I got to when you were in the scene when you had to infiltrate the bank secretly, and then there was a series of quick time elements, and if you didn't hit the button exactly precisely, you would die.
Well, look, they're not the Lone Ranger.
I played through that,
and they're not the Lone Ranger.
I know.
I'm
just saying though, but this is Dice we're talking about. This isn't some random developer. They know what they're doing.
We're
going to
so go longer than one segment on this because we haven't even gotten into like the good parts about here. We got to talk about multiplayer. We got to talk about servers.
The single player is very good, dude. It's good.
Really,
I do want to say because I didn't get to finish it. I've only played about six missions of it, and I'm focusing a lot on the bugs that I've had and the funny moments that I've had because of those bugs.
Yeah.
Well, and I do want to let people know that I've been playing on the Xbox 360 version.
Did you install it or not install it?
HD texture packs installed, absolutely. So.
And I'm playing on PC
and
360.
PC and 360, yeah.
Yeah. And I would like to, I think the very beginning, what it does, and I wish it didn't do, is try to be in your face, on 11, go crazy. And I'm hoping that it slows down, it gets a little bit more precise, it gets a little bit more clean. Because there were missions that I loved in Medal of Honor, for example. When you were the tier one guys, yeah. I loved some of that stuff because it was very precise. They knew exactly what to do. There was never this chaotic moment of everything's going to shit. They knew what they had to do because they had a mission and they were professional about it. That's what I'm hoping happens.
Completely unlike this show, because this show is on 11. It's gone to shit. Yeah. We have no idea what's going on, but what is going to be going on is when we come back on the other side of this break, we're going to talk about multiplayer Battlefield 3. There's still the Grand Theft Auto 5 announcement, and we are going to do what we do best when we've been drinking and come up with half-baked, crazy, stupid ideas of what Grand Theft Auto 5 ought to be.
Zombies!
Brilliant. Fantastic. There you go. So stick around. You are not going to want to miss the rest of this show. We'll be right back. Weekend Confirmed is brought to you by the Gamefly app, the must-have app for gamers. The app is filled with game information, the latest gaming news from shacknews.com, and videos and screenshots for over 8,000 games. New version 2.0 for the iPhone and iPod Touch includes cool new features like social interaction. Now you can follow and interact with the crew from Weekend Confirmed in the Gamefly app. Check out what Jeff Cannata, Del Rio, and I are playing and saying about the latest games. And as always, the app is free and available now for the iPhone, Android, and Palm mobile devices. Yeah. On the Weekend Confirmed, we're about to be fueled by a 12-inch sausage.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Pizza.
There's been a lot of more drinking in the break.
It has been.
And pizza has been ordered.
Yes.
Welcome back to Creakin' One Firm.
Creakin' One Firm. Well, we're doing better than Chris Johnson's fantasy stats this year.
Oh, come on now.
I don't understand what that means.
He's going to turn it around.
Because you're a Canuck.
No, he's not.
Canuck.
No, he is.
No, he's not.
He's going to have that breakout game. Uh-huh. You're going to be sad. And you're going to be like, I shouldn't have traded him.
CJ Noke.
So I watched hockey today. It was fun.
All right. So we covered single player pretty well. Jeff, you love it. Sum it up. Why do you love single player Battlefield?
I think it delivers enough different, interesting, fun moments. The graphics engine is stunning to behold, especially if you're running on a wonderful PC.
Very true.
Even on an Xbox, it looks great. Mm-hmm. And there are enough really fun, big moments, great firefights that I can overlook the flaws.
What does Modern Warfare 3 have to do when it comes out in 2 weeks to get your at least get your attention in this competition?
I think it needs to deliver another solid performance like it always does. I feel like these games have become almost indistinguishable from one another. Its genre has become so well defined that it's very almost by rote. It's almost a given that if you hit those certain marks.
Wait, by genre you mean like military style?
This sort of subgenre, yeah.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare its own genre at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
But specifically in terms of the single player, because multiplayer, they're vastly different.
They're very different, and that's where the differentiation happens. And I think a lot of people are going to prefer the Battlefield multiplayer.
Do you think that they had to throw a single player in this? Because the original Battlefield series, which is what they were going back to for this, did not have a single player story. Did they need to do this, do you think?
I'm glad they did.
Really?
That's where I come for.
This is interesting.
I'm not that multiplayer guy. I'm really just not. And I wish I was, but I'm not. And
I'm not that multiplayer guy either.
I really enjoy a solid, fun, single-player experience. Is this one flawed? Yes. Does it hit a lot of the same beats and a lot of the same notes that Modern Warfare does? Yes. Literally, to the end moment that plays out like the end of every single Call of Duty game. I mean, it hits those beats. It knows exactly what it's trying to do.
So to what degree, then, do you think that those of us who are in the games media business are too quick to stick the dagger in the back of Battlefield 3 single player?
To what extent?
Yeah.
I think extraordinary. I think that
it sounds like that's what you're saying, is that we're backstabbing this thing way too early. We're not giving enough...
I believe that. Yeah, I think that it is...
No, I mean,
it's completely fair to call it a wannabe, but what it wants to be is something that is a very solid gameplay experience, and it delivers that. I didn't play the new rebooted Medal of Honor that got lambasted on this show.
But it actually was, that Medal of Honor was actually not that bad of a game. It wasn't. I'm serious.
It was pretty bad.
It had moments that were terrible. I'm not going to lie about that, but they had some really shiny moments as well. I kind of feel like it's a little, analogous to the Battlefield 3, like where there's shining moments and then there's really crappy moments.
Yeah. I do want to say that, like, I have no interest or care in whether or not Medal of Honor or, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare is better or worse. I don't give a shit. Like, in terms of me playing Battlefield 3, the experience that I had, and I haven't finished the game yet, the only problems I have with the game are specifically tied to the errors and the glitches yeah. and the bugs that I've seen. Now, I haven't finished it. I can't review the game based on what I've played, and I wouldn't because it would be unethical. But so far, I'm worried. That's what I wrote in my story.
I get the spirit of where you're coming from on the, I don't want to say which one's better. It doesn't interest me.
I haven't played Modern Warfare.
But it's a very legitimate question for someone that is going to buy one of the two.
Okay, that is very true.
And I haven't played Modern Warfare 3 yet. Mm-hmm. Like some people at this table that can't talk about
so
it.
So let's ring back in on the Battlefield single player next week when I will have completed it and Zab will have completed it. But let me tell you a little story. So I'm sitting at the bar the other night, and this guy sitting down the bar from me is talking about his girlfriend in San Diego. It's a very L.A. douchebaggery sort of conversation that's going on. And then next thing I know, he's asking me about Modern Warfare for reasons that may or may not be apparent if you're following the context of the show. And I ask him, like, okay, so tell me, like, so you're interested in Modern Warfare. Like, so what do you like? You know, like, do you play the campaign and all that? He's like, you know, actually, I don't really care about the campaign as all. He's like, you know, my buddies and I, if we're sitting around playing games, we play FIFA or we play Modern Warfare or we play Black Ops. And we just play online. He's like, I don't care about the single player at all.
Right.
So how valuable was it for Battlefield to really do this? I mean, I think this is like a big question that we're going to answer over the next 6 months. Like, how valuable was it for them to do this? Because here's my hypothesis. My hypothesis is this, is that
if, hypothesis.
My hypothesis is this. If Battlefield sought to take on the juggernaut that is Modern Warfare, then they fell into the same trap that a lot of folks that feel like they need to take on a competitor do, which is instead of doubling down on their strength, they look at their weakness and say, well, let's improve on our weakness and make a more complete package. The funny thing here is that though we think of Call of Duty games in the context of they have single player and everything else, look at how much money they spent on Elite. Look at how much work and effort they put into Elite. Look at how many people play. Like, look, 80% of the audience retention value of Call of Duty is built around its multiplayer game. It is a multiplayer sure. dynamo. And Battlefield seemingly had the strength of a multiplayer game.
Right.
Great PC community. Great, let's go have a Battlefield. Great identity there of something that's not trying to be something else. It's like, here's what we do. We do vehicles. We do large-scale conflict. We do ticket system. We do these great conflicts. We do this great command, you know, this domination mode.
And by all accounts, based on, I haven't read any of the reviews, but based on what I've heard from all of the reviews, everyone says the same thing. Single player is not good, other than what you said, Jeff. But the meat and potatoes of the game and where people are going to spend most of their time is the multiplayer, and that's what the core of this game is.
Of course, but I also want to touch on something that you said, Garnet, was that it's a PC community, and it's very clear that DICE created this for the PC gamer, which is totally
really?
Fine.
PC gamers are now ready to come through their stereo at you. They're like, are you kidding me? This is a console game. We hate you.
It's not a console game.
That was a Dalek toy. I
honestly believe that there are some failings in multiplayer on console versus PC. I truly believe the PC experience is superior than the console experience, but DICE was always very open about that. They're very open about the fact that this was a PC game. They're developing it. It's going to be better on the PC, not just visually and audio, the audio and whatever the technical specs, but like the gameplay. There are certain maps, Caspian Border, for example. When you play that on console, it's gigantic.
They even thrive on the larger player.
Even if it's a full map, even if you have all players on there, you know what I mean? And it's all maxed out, it still feels empty because it's too big.
I agree.
It's too big for console. I really feel like they should have made specific maps just for console players and scaled it
down.
Now
you're fragmenting.
You're fragmenting
the game. You're making multiple games.
I'm not trying to fragment the game. I'm just saying if you're going to make a game and it's going to be PS3, Xbox, and PC, and you're going to do the same thing, but you're going to be like, hey, guess what? On PC, you get 64 players, you know, instead of 24.
But Andrea,
like,
the player count limit is not.
You need to adjust for that.
The player count limit is not contingent upon the platform if you're running real dedicated servers. And the problem here is that we don't really have dedicated servers anymore. We have
these servers.
Well, we're going to talk about servers in a minute, but it's interesting talking about the way server structure is run anymore. There's still a significant amount of peer-to-peer that goes on, even in quote-unquote dedicated server worlds. And this is unfortunate because it used to be you knew that if you had a dedicated server, you could even go to, there were a lot of ISP and hosting folks who, you know, you could get a deal and go, I'm going to host a blade. I'm going to buy some space on a rack. I'm going to have my server. I can go in and set the VARs up however I want to. I can run my custom games. I can have them linked into the stat keeping system. And that's sort of gone. And there's no reason that if the client for the game was actually portable and just running on your system, and then the master running on the blade was sitting there doing its thing, there's no reason you couldn't run 64 player games for console just easily, but there's still a degree of peer-to-peer stuff that's going on. And I think that sort of divides the community, right? Like, that is a problem.
Sure. Of course, yeah.
But my bigger problem in the first place was, why did Battlefield not just double down on being Battlefield and make a fucking unbelievable multiplayer Battlefield that was so incredible that
a multiplayer game?
Yes.
It's because it's on console. That wouldn't fly on console. Do you think that would fly as a $60 product on Xbox 360 and PS3?
I think that it could if you did it right.
Launched at $50 or $49.99, I think.
Could you sell World of Warcraft right now if you had to on console?
Well, no, not no.
Wow, that's neither one of them oranges. Has like
that. Totally. Why is it apples
totally
and oranges?
I totally agree with Jeff Harris.
Why is
totally
it apples,
apples
and, oranges?
And oranges?
It's a completely different
amazing PC experience, online only. I'm going to bring it to console.
Yeah, but it's online only, but you can have a completely single player experience playing World of Warcraft.
My problem here is that
that's true. What
you can now because they've adjusted things quite a bit. You can now. My problem here is that I think that what happens is the Battlefield guys think too much in the terms of what can we do to beat Call of Duty and what have we done before and we're just going to do a little bit more of it. Whereas if they had really expanded on the idea that they've done great of Battlefield roles, really building all of that idea of being a soldier, working in squads, all of those elements together, I think they could have been fantastic. Look, one of the reasons that people overlook about why they didn't like the beta is that the beta takes it really points out the difficulty of translating that sort of game to console experience because it's hard to play. Look, there's three separate sections, and if you get behind, you feel like you're beaten and you just want to get back to the start screen and play over again. If you can contrast that to Modern Warfare is quick. Like,
it's
because
Battlefield is meant to be a team game, right? And Modern Warfare is a series of solo games.
Right, and you might buddy up, and you might not buddy up.
You absolutely can buddy up, but you're playing...
You can superhero in Modern Warfare.
Which, by the way, the Resistance buddy up thing, totally overlooked. Insomniac did a really good job with that. Brilliant idea. Someone else is going to pick up and make work, and they're going to get credit for it. Insomniac will be
overlooked. Battlefield does squads and platoons, and they do a lot of that so you can spawn on your squad when you're playing with your squad.
Which is, I think, not a good thing.
I love that about those
Why
games.
Do you not like that?
I think that it leaves you very vulnerable. Like when you're literally, I mean, it can be beneficial in certain areas, but I feel like a lot of times when you spawn like on your teammate, you're spawning in the middle of a firefight, and there's a lot of times when you just get shot without even knowing where you're getting shot.
Right,
from.
That always
happens. It gives you the ability to select where you want to spawn from in that situation. I like it because if you are on, you know, your team is capturing an objective in a map that's been unlocked all the way, and you have to spawn at the beginning point of the third section of that map, it becomes a huge pain in the ass to try to find your squad.
We have to run forever, you mean?
Well, and then there's
so Jeff, how much multiplayer have you? Because you like the single player. How much multiplayer then have you played?
Very little. I've played some, and and I like what I've played, but I think I have a very outdated point of view, and that is I grew up in a time of playing video games where the single player content was the game, and if there was multiplayer, it was a way to further explore the game systems that were established in the single player campaign. And that's sort of the mode
but
that
Battlefield broke that mold a long time ago.
As I said, it's an outdated perspective, but it's still the perspective that I sort of feel. I've never gotten into multiplayer if I didn't already complete the single player campaign. And I feel like for me, I may be a minority in this situation, but for players like me, adding single player to Battlefield 3 legitimized the game and made there Ooh. Be something that I was desiring to play.
For you specifically, though, legitimized it for you, right?
That's
right.
I said
a very small minority probably of people like me that really want to have that crafted, fun experience that varies over really interesting, different gameplay situations, and that's what the single player does for you. A multiplayer situation, yes, there's different maps, and there's, but you're not thrown into wildly different situations where I need to, you know, provide cover for my dudes at nighttime. I need to do, you know, there's all these wonderful situations that are introduced in the single player campaign that I really enjoy, and that's what I come to these games for.
I don't think that you're a small minority. I absolutely join you in saying that I play a game for the single player experience, and to me, the multiplayer is just an add-on. Like, I didn't play Gears of War 3 to play multiplayer. I played it to play that campaign and play that single player experience. And did I play a lot of Horde and have a lot of fun? Absolutely. But for me, that was a secondary experience.
I hate to say, guys, I think you're a little minority on these titles.
I think you are now a minority. I completely admit that.
So listen, Battlefield is absolutely a multiplayer title, hands down. People don't buy Battlefield for the campaign.
Yeah, Battlefield's not known for that.
They're absolutely known for the multiplayer. But I have to say that there's very few games in the market that are like that.
Let me extend that a little bit then. So what if we kind of take a middle ground and we say, okay, single player is important because single player in these games, if you're going to have good multiplayer, single player, though, is the place we identify some character. With Gears, obviously, we have this crazy over-the-top dudes in giant battle armor, the cogs. You got the locusts. You got the lambents. It's like this crazy, you know, humanity on the edge of destruction, like all kinds of crazy shit going on. So that fits that world. It gives you that idea of what that is. Modern Warfare, okay, I have an MP5 in my hands, but who knows what the hell's going to happen because there might be an EMP pulse at any moment and the Eiffel Tower might come crashing down in front of me.
Yeah,
and I hate when that happens.
And
shit's going to go absolutely batshit insane. Battlefield 3.
Oh, you're saying it's undefined. You're saying it doesn't have a voice.
I'm saying that it doesn't. I'm saying that part of the, although over the years we have made.
That's crazy.
We have poked a little fun at Call of Duty's escalation into lunacy. Mm-hmm. That what they've done is they have established a character that then translates into multiplayer. And once we're in multiplayer, we're playing our own game. We're making our own stories. We're making our own memories. And we enjoy those events. And it's like that little foundation of, oh, that's right. This is the same game that I had that ridiculous event that whatever happened in.
But I think Battlefield's like character has already been defined in its multiplayer. It doesn't need to define
itself. So that's interesting.
Are you talking about the character overall of the game or characters in the game? Because when I think of
Battlefield, I don't think character overall of the game itself.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big defining factor in this game is that there's no, to me, and I'm a big story person. When I play a game, I really get involved in the characters and the story and what's happening in the game. It's not just about who am I shooting in the head, who am I sniping, who am I shooting with my tank, whatever. Like, I really put investment in the characters, and I feel like there's no story in this game at all.
Well, it doesn't necessarily need story for me. It needs context, and that's okay. And that is, I think, the most interesting part of interactive entertainment for me. I want context. I want setting. I want world. I want to feel like I'm transported to a different place in a different time doing different things than I do in my normal life.
All right. So for those of you who are out there right now typing up these horrible posts about like, why are they still talking about Battlefield? These assholes don't even know anything about it. They should put some fucking people on here who know about it. We're going to wrap the Battlefield up for now.
I can only speak from my own personal opinion.
I do want to say that the identity of Battlefield is a massive multiplayer online game that includes vehicles. That includes a lot of different kinds of tactics that you cannot find in other games. And the difference between this game, and I think a lot of people, especially on the console side, who get hung up on it, think about Battlefield as the Battlefield Bad Company series, whereas this is trying to be the Battlefield series, the original Battlefield 2 series.
Oh, on the console side.
On the console side. Whereas I think DICE tried to make a game, especially in the multiplayer space, a game that harkened back to the original idea of what Battlefield was.
What, Battlefield 1942 was?
Battlefield 1942.
For multiplayer?
More Battlefield 2.
All right, right, so
by learning some of the things they learned throughout the multiplayer experiences in creating Battlefield.
To wrap things up, if you're following at Battlefield on Twitter, then you've noticed a preponderance of tweets that begin with, "We know we are encountering difficulties right now. We are working on them." How troubling is it to you that they've had these many troubles with their servers, which is not uncommon? Many multiplayer games launch with a number of problems, but with Sweater coming.
Sweater.
I think it's EA. It's EA. Electronic Arts is a gigantic publisher. They're one of the top two publishers out there. Mm-hmm. Them and Activision. I just feel like they need to know how to handle a launch like this. I literally have never played the co-op because I spent 30 minutes trying to connect to co-op before I just
You spend
gave
more
up.
Than 30 minutes on your makeup every morning.
You shut up. I don't care. It's not about
fair,
that.
So do I.
It's also a co-op
If
experience.
I spend more than that on my makeup, it's because I choose to spend more, not because I get lost server connection.
Well,
lost
might,
server connection. You might lost choose server connection.
You might choose
just
to spend
saying.
More time on this.
That's funny.
It was very frustrating that I was trying to get on. They know what kind of experience. The thing that pisses me off the most about this is that EA was the one who picked the fight. Like, we're going to be the best. We're going to be the best above and beyond the call. Like, we're going to be
above and beyond the call is kind of ridiculous.
Marketing department
you know what I mean?
Did
like,
not.
I'm just saying, like, if they're gonna fluff their feathers and show this bravado. Fucking back that shit up.
Well, here's the thing.
Like, for real.
It's back not that like shit up if you're going to fluff your feathers.
Listen, it's not like, and I don't want to defend Battlefield, but it's not like it is rare for a big multiplayer shooter to come out and there to be a huge like fuck up like this where multiplayer
so
does not work properly.
Dav, you've been doing this for a while also. What's a reasonable expectation in your mind of what a game should be like that has a multiplayer component with a large... that's going to get hit really hard on that first day on the servers. What's a reasonable expectation?
I think Black Ops did a pretty good job of it where they actually didn't have too many issues within that first week. There were some hiccups. And Gears of War 3, there were some hiccups
too.
Yeah,
there definitely were.
But they corrected the issues far beyond what that happened during Gears of War 2, which Gears of War 2 completely was a disaster.
Was a disaster.
And didn't work for a while. And they ended up fixing the problem by going to this dedicated server situation with Gears of War 3. Now, EA likes to use their own servers because they like controlling that message so that you can log into their systems. Yeah. It's easier for them to do that. This is not rare for EA specifically. This was not rare when Battlefield Bad Company 2 came
not
out.
At all.
This should have been expected. And the problem is that if they're going to have betas on the 360 and on the PS3 and on the PC, they should be planning for these things to happen. If
Absolutely.
You're going to ship now, 10 million units, you should be prepared to have 10 million people connecting to your server.
Was Absolutely. This specifically a console issue or is this a PC
no,
issue?
No, it happened on the PC. It happened on the console, on the 360 and the PS3. It's happening on all three staggering. I think the 360 is getting hit the most right now.
Because it is
yeah,
because
the 360
context,
was the worst, for
the
sure.
The context that you brought up was concern for Sweater.
Yeah.
And I think that...
And you told me right before the show started that they've now moved up the European launch. It's no longer staggered.
Right.
They're going to have everybody going into Sweater at the... By the way, Sweater is Star Wars The Old Republic. Yeah. We're having fun with Jeff's
But you guys know that
it.
They did create a whole new BioWare in Ireland in order to take care of this, right?
Ireland. Awesome.
There's BioWare
The Emerald
Ireland
Isle
now.
Is fantastic.
It's beautiful there.
Yeah, okay. No, the BioWare Ireland, they opened BioWare Ireland that's going to open up when before the game comes
Did they call
out.
It BioWare?
Ireland.
Ireland, really.
IOWare.
So that they have a whole studio that's going to try to like manage this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's going to be a big problem, too.
Well, and they've done a lot of things with the pre-order situation and giving people early access, you know, in a staggered kind of way, I think, right. to ramp themselves into it, which is, I think, very smart. But it does... It is a little scary. I think that is a game that is going to be a massive, massive, massive day
Absolutely.
One hit to those servers.
So you
servers.
Know what? Thanks to Jeff Cannata, our listenership now has an understanding of what Devil's Advocate means. So hey. I'm going to play Devil's Advocate for a minute.
Do it.
And get away with it for free because you
roll.
Took the hit.
I don't understand that reference.
Wait, before we move on to Sweater, I have another thing to say about Battlefield. Multiplayer.
Is it yelling?
No. Well, kind of. It's a little yelling. It's talking about this online...
Give me some fucking ammo!
It's this online pass business.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I think that this is a huge issue.
Okay.
First off, there was a lot of people that had trouble...
Redeeming them?
Redeeming their online
yeah, there was
passes.
The, so, yeah. So
which,
if
is
you...
a, which is a big deal.
Yes.
Especially when you're billing yourself as a multiplayer game. And then you're going to be like, oh, by the way, you need a special code to play the multiplayer. Mm. Or if you're like me and you rented it, from GameFly, like I did.
So you stuck it in your GameFly?
I did as well.
Did you stuck it in your GameFly?
I stuck it in my
GameFly
because I love my GameFly. And we bought it for a PS3, have it on the PC, and I wanted to also see it on
the Xbox. So now you're talking about distributed platforms. Like, there's so many. So, Jeff, by the way, do you want to get into like the whole, this whole stuff? Yeah.
Nope. Yeah. Go ahead. Moving on.
But I think it's worth noting because EA is going to be implementing their online pass, I think, in most of their big AAA titles from here on out.
Online passes are a done deal from now on.
I mean, but... As far as I know, Call of Duty doesn't have an online pass.
Nope. I think they actually said they're not going to do that. They have Elite, which is something else that you have to activate, which is a service that they're providing.
But that is an extra. If
right.
if you get the game disc, and you put it in, you don't have to enter an extra code or pay extra money to access the multiplayer. It's part of the experience of having the game on
Did
the
Did you
disc.
Read the comments? I mean, you read all the show comments on the official thread on Chat
I do.
News, right?
Yes.
Did you see the one where the guy was like, so why did they not ever offer me an option to buy Batman without Catwoman for $50? Because if it's $10 extra if I want Catwoman point. Afterwards, why can't I just buy it? You know, I don't really like Catwoman.
Because
I just want to play Batman.
Hot. She's hot. That whip, her ass, and that suit. Come on, you want it. You want it. You totally do. I'm just saying.
I will admit that I want it.
You're right.
Catwoman
right.
is amazing in Batman Arkham City. I'm just saying. She's
so,
awesome.
Yeah.
The but online pass thing's not going anywhere. Online pass, and yeah. the challenge here is that this is the Band-Aid fix for now for a bigger problem of how do you deal with all of the lost revenues that they perceive they're having, which I think we talked like, look, there's some great threads on Shaq News about this. Like, go back to last week's thread about this. There's a combination of the piracy issue and $60 games and multiple platforms. Because, like, Andrea, like you said, you guys bought it on PS3. But if you want to play it on 360, then you'd need a separate online pass for that. But, I mean, you've already... So this is where...
Well, you also need a separate copy
separate
of the game.
Right.
The game, yeah.
And the
which
waters
we rented
get murky
to
there,
try
right?
it out.
Because the game publishers are going to say, well, we want you to buy the IP. Well, if I bought the Battlefield IP, then shouldn't I be able to play it on all my devices that it's offered on? But they don't want to have that
there's
also.
There's never been a precedent for that.
There's never been a precedent for that.
Right.
So at the same time, they want you to buy multiple copies as well. So
right. Well, whether you agree
if
with
you don't
it
actually
or not,
own the IP, you own the disc. But you don't own the disc.
You
only
don't.
Only,
listen, whether you agree with the entire situation or not, what happened in this generation is that you no longer own your games. You are licensing your games from publishers and
well,
distributors.
That was actually technically always the case.
Yeah. Well, always, but here's the thing I'm glad you brought up Catwoman, even with Catwoman, Warner Brothers saw a huge technical glitch with these Catwoman codes that went out. A lot
That's
of people had missing codes from their games. Some yeah. people had, obviously it was a mistake, but like this is a problem when you're charging people extra to access content that they already paid for.
I agree.
No one's arguing with that.
My problem with the way they handled that was simply that I thought their customer service
There should have been a more elegant solution.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, let's talk about some fun stuff.
Well, what's the thing you were going to play Devil's Advocate about?
What was I going to play Devil's Advocate about?
I don't remember. She brought it back to Battlefield, but you were going to say something about something.
I think you were talking about Sweater.
Yeah, you were talking about Sweater.
What was it?
It'll come back to you.
It'll come back to me. In the meantime...
You guys were talking about European and North American
launch. In the meantime, Andrea
was
going to tell us about
Let the Kids Dance.
Central.
Let
because Dance Central is fun and we have a good time with it.
I pour myself some more Maker's Mark.
Good idea.
Delicious. Dance Central.
Or as Andrea likes to call it.
Dance Central.
Hot and sweaty is what I like to call it. Don't plan
that's
on playing
how we
this
like
game.
Her.
Don't plan on playing this game if you don't want to get hot and sweaty. Dance Central is obviously Harmonix's follow-up to Dance Central 2.
I was
going to
say that's my rule for a lot of things, but all right.
Dance Central 2 is the follow-up to Dance Central, the original.
What?
The thing...
You've lost
Let's
me.
Start with what I love about this game. They have an amazing, amazing track list of songs.
She can't stop singing.
What are some of the tracks?
Some of the tracks that I danced to, This Is How We Do It, Mom Tell Jordan, This Is How We Do It,
what's another
Mom
one?
Mom Tell Jordan, Sandstorm.
Sandstorm, how's that
by Darude.
Oh, no.
Don't do it.
Oh, my God. Sandstorm, once a club nightmare, now a sports event nightmare.
They also have Rump Shaker.
Oh, Rump Shaker.
All I want to do is...
Okay. I can't believe Sandstorm.
Wait, they have Baby Got Back. It's amazing.
How does that one go, Andrea?
You know, Baby Got Back. Whatever. I'm just saying these are fun party songs. These are songs you want to listen to. They're great to do with a group. They're trying to kind of springboard off of what Just Dance 3 pioneered. Unfortunately, they're a little late. Just Dance 3 has 4-player group dancing. Dance Central only has 2-player, and I think that's just a technology gap between the Kinect and the holding.
Have you done the 4-player?
I actually haven't done the 4-player.
Have you played Just Dance or Just Dance 3 on the Kinect?
I haven't tried it yet. No, I haven't, but I haven't tried it yet.
Because I would be curious as to how those compare Kinect v Kinect.
My personal experience with having multiple players with the Kinect is that you collide a lot. There's a lot of like arms hitting arms, legs hitting legs.
Sure.
Because
you could have that with the Kinect
window.
A lot of awkward
touching. No, here's the thing about when you're with Just Dance, if you're playing with like PlayStation Move or Wii, when every player is holding controllers, it's different because you can space out a little bit more. The the
especially
eye,
if the controller's glowing, you can see it
exactly
very well.
The eye on the Kinect is very limited. Like, I mean, you have to literally be in the exact right space. I mean, this has been a common complaint about Kinect games, is that it's difficult with spacing, and obviously that's why the Nyko Kinect Zoom has been really popular with people that don't have like gigantic living rooms. But at the end of the day, like, technical glitches aside, this game is just fun. It's just really fun. I mean, the dance moves are difficult. I'm not going to lie. Like, even on easy, some of the moves are really challenging. And but the break it down feature is really good, where it literally, like, slows everything down.
So would you consider yourself coordinated or uncoordinated?
Oh, I'm definitely coordinated.
Mm-hmm. Is this?
I'm like, boy, I got moved for days. What?
Is this one of the Kinect games that I can play sitting on my couch?
No, this is a dance game. Dance Central 2.
Is that a thing?
You probably want to pick up Sit Central.
Mm. Yes.
Sit Central.
Different game.
Lounge Central.
I mean, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. And what's really cool about the second game is that they've added a workout feature, because this is a really popular thing. Obviously, Zumba.
I had that in DDR like 6 years ago.
Zumba kind of pioneered this. I mean, the Zumba games have been crazy
DDR
successful.
DDR had this 6 years ago. Well, I was importing add-on discs and doing workout mode.
You know what, though? But like
ago.
The thing on the pad on the floor, though.
I was.
That's not fun to do those really like stock like moves on the pad. I mean, you guys can't see what I'm doing with my hands.
It was a good workout.
But like,
you don't
I
need
feel
to see
like
what she was doing
there's
with her hands.
There's way more fun with Dance Central because they have a song track that at least I can say American consumers are familiar with. I felt with DDR there was a lot of really random like hyper electronic songs that I was like, what the fuck is this song? I don't even know.
That's
this
why
shit.
Garnet loved it.
You know, listen. I'm a big electronica fan. Like, I love a lot of electronic music. But there was some really.
You
cool...
cited Sandstorm. You have lost your license for a day at least.
I didn't cite. It's a song of the game. It's not. I didn't say I would listen to that on a regular basis. Shit. If they had DJ in the shadow in the game, it'd be awesome.
Oh, dear God.
Anyway. Okay, I hear you, Del Rio. I'm sorry. It's the maker's mark. It's not my fault. Anyway,
yes.
It's a fun party game. If you have a Kinect. You should have Dance Central too. It's just fun. It's fun.
We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I have two questions that I want you to think about over the break. Number one, what happened between last year and this year on Kinect? And is Kinect still relevant? Because last year, I was excited about Dance Central. I had taken the effort to move around my furniture in my living room so I could play my Kinect.
Which is a valid point.
And
you move shit.
I had gone over my friend's house and played like Dance Central with them. We had a great time with it. And I have to tell you, like, I understand what they've done with this game. I know that they've made improvements on it. However, I feel like the Rock Band Guitar Hero fatigue set in on this game more rapidly than I've seen in anything in this genre before. It really hit quickly. And then bigger picture, like,
sure.
What the hell is going on with Kinect? Should we be excited about what's coming up for gamers with Kinect, or is it really going to go down the Wii Avenue? And then... to wrap things up completely.
What's the Wii Avenue? Selling like gangbusters for a short period of time? And then...
The Wii Avenue is becoming a mainstream thing that game designers struggle to make anything as good as a few standout titles. There are a few standout titles on Wii that are fantastic, and you go, wow, this clicks, this is it, I get it. But there's so many other games where they've tried to make them work, but they haven't. If you grab that Cheez-It, I'm going to slap your hand off.
That's actually... so salty and delicious.
That's what she said.
Wow.
Everyone take a drink. Oh, wow. Everyone take a drink.
There you go.
Anyway, the the
brain Andrea just dribbled down her face. Andrea has a drinking problem.
Jesus Christ.
She has a drinking problem.
It's dribbling down my chin.
Oh my God. Where is the pig?
I would just like to say to all the listeners who just got their new ringtone, you're welcome.
To the ones still listening to this episode.
Yeah. And we still have Lil Wayne coming in the music break.
Weezy.
Lil Wayne is
That's
on
right.
our show?
Because, yeah, badass.
I can't wait till he becomes medium-sized Wayne.
I give up.
I really can't.
Never mind, I'm just taking this to the break. We'll be right back. Okay, why don't you bound and unbound your Skyrim talk?
I can pretty much say it's going to be my favorite thing.
Skyrim. What's your favorite thing?
Not even my favorite game. Just my favorite thing. It's so good, Skyrim. Guys. It's so good.
I fucking love this game.
Move the wagon wheel.
I love this game.
How good Skyrim. Is it?
Skyrim. It's so good.
Skyrim. Tell me about your stories.
I'll tell you one. I was walking along a road, and I saw a group of woolly mammoths.
I fucking love this game.
Move the wagon wheel.
And then I noticed that there was a giant.
I can pretty much say
wagon wheel.
You know, rustling them or whatever you do, like being like a shepherd to his flock, herding them. Correct.
Wagon wheel. Say it's gonna be my favorite thing.
And I was like, oh my God, I want to walk over there. Maybe I can talk to this giant. I walk up, like, hello, giant dude. I walk up to him, and I'm going to push A to talk, like, hello, giant dude.
Don't bother me, kid. I'm working.
Talk to him, and he turns wheel. And looks at me and swings his club and kills me in one shot. It's like, oh, I guess he wasn't friendly.
I fucking love this game.
Broke my wagon wheel.
Don't bother me, kid. I'm working.
Oh, I guess he wasn't friendly. It's so good, guys. It's so good.
Broke my wagon wheel.
I fucking love this game.
I stand behind all of that.
Yes. Was that a fem ship or a male ship?
My favorite part of that song is wagon wheel. It's in the background for no reason. Just completely non sequitur. Wagon wheel.
I agree with you. I played Skyrim as well, and it was awesome.
It is.
Yeah. It is awesome, but you have to respect the giants. They're not your friend. They're
respect my authority!
You.
They are not your friend. I learned that the hard way.
How much Skyrim will we be playing?
Hours.
All of it.
All of it?
Weeks. All of it.
I'm going to kill all the dragons. There are all the dragons. I'm going to kill them all.
Andrew, are you going to play along with our like Skyrim stories thing that we're going to do?
I don't know about this. Stories
from Skyrim.
Stories from Skyrim.
Yes, I would love to.
We're just going
to
tell stories. And it was really funny because one of the commenters on Shaq started a thread about, like, well, have you ever noticed that Jeff doesn't talk about the core storyline in Oblivion or Fallout when he talks about these stories? Well, that's my intent. I mean,
yeah.
we do actually really pay attention to not trying to spoil games for you. And one of the interesting things is about Bethesda games is that we can go and have these experiences, and they are sort of unique. And you could also consider those spoilers because they are all part of the programmed, you know, adventure.
But you're so unlikely to have the exact same experience
that it's interesting,
that I have,
right?
Or maybe 100 hours in, you have that experience, or whatever.
Yeah.
Or you may see them someplace
else.
We're
going to have the exact same experience.
Right.
Right.
So there you go. Dance Central 2. None of us have had any experience, but we all had experience with Dance Central. And the funny thing was, this is what I wanted to get to before we went to pizza break.
We did have pizza break.
Yeah, pizza break.
The good news is it soaked up some of the alcohol. So.
Yeah, just a little though.
Just, and we're having more now, so.
Just a little though.
Yes, pizza break.
Anyway.
Okay.
The funny thing is that last year, all we could talk about was Dance Central.
Really? I don't remember that.
It was one of the flagship titles for the Kinect technology.
No, it really was. Yeah. It wasn't. It really was the game that everybody said, well, this is the one killer app for the Kinect. Yes.
And now.
And all those other killer apps have come out since.
How about that Star Wars game?
It's still not out.
Oh.
Did you guys play the Gunstringer?
I did. It's really good. We talked about that. Gunstringer is really good.
It's a very fun game.
Do the claw.
You don't actually have to have the claw when you play.
I pointed that out to him as well.
Just have your hand flat.
But it's more fun if you do.
No need to get carpal tunnel while you play Gunstringer.
So you get all the achievements. The claw. Yeah. You get the claw achievement at the end of the game if you play.
But
like
having
that.
The claw does make you feel like you're actually holding the marionette. I get that.
Yes. Yeah.
But we're talking about Dance
Rise
too.
And you're also sort of like Benny.
We did a Halloween episode of Totally Rad Show today, and we played some Rise of Nightmares.
It's a very bloody Kinect game, I will say. Well, there's literally
with
a
weird Germanic overtone.
There's literally a scene when you go into this one room, and there's these two giant horizontal buzzsaws that are going across, and you have to make your way to the other side, but there's like these undead that are attacking you, but you have to avoid these giant buzzsaws that will just like sever you in half, and you have this like chainsaw. It literally is like Saw.
That part's cool. That's from the demo that I played.
Or Hostel,
that doesn't
the video
the
game.
Beginning.
Like it's really like that.
It's like Saw the movie or Hostel the video game, but not Saw the video game or Hostel the movie.
It's like a hybrid. You know, shut up.
Is the first level you moving your couch? Is that how the first level
it's
of all
it's worse.
Games work?
The first level is literally.
Okay, what I meant to say was that there's elements of both.
Well, our own
but
podcast.
There's more elements of Hostel than
so
Saw.
It's digressions.
Jeff and Zav show.
Digressions notwithstanding, why is it, do you think, that we were excited about Dance Central back then? Not Dance Central 2, seemingly not really catching on. Have you played Dance Central 2, Jeff?
No, I have not.
Have you played Dance Central 2, Zav?
No, I have not.
Did you play the originals?
Did you play the originals?
I did.
I did.
And I did too. And I had a really good time with it.
Here's the distinction that I'm going to to right now, but I think this is valid, is that with Rock Band, Guitar Hero, et cetera, the fantasy is, oh man, I'd love to play that song.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They got the new
Metallica song. I'd love to play that song. Right. I've always fantasized about rocking the guitar riff in that song. Nobody has ever gone, oh, I've always wanted to dance to that other track.
Right.
You know, I mean, it, Dance Central experience is sort of the same no matter what music you're listening to. Yeah, it's fun that there's some extra tracks.
Mm.
I know, Andrew, you're excited about the new tracks. It's cool that there are other tracks, but you can dance to any music you want in life no matter what.
You can dance.
You can't play the guitar to any music you want.
No, here's the deal.
In the way that those games
offer. I disagree with you because literally the moves, the dance moves that they have choreographed to each individual song are so unique to each song that, like, if you're not a dancer, if you're not like a natural dancer or don't have any dance training, listen,
I
like to get down on the dance floor. All right, Kanata? Like, I like to shake my groove
thing.
But I'm saying, if you're not a professional trained dancer, you don't know these moves. And these moves are difficult, and each song is different. And the like hard expertise on these dances, like there's easy, medium, hard. The hard is like it's insane. Like it's impossible.
Have you ever talked to their choreographer?
I haven't, but I met a couple of them
He's
at
really
E3
cool guy,
last
actually.
Year. I mean, and these are like legit dance moves. I had a friend of mine.
Harmonix
do...
hired a legit choreographer out of the club.
And if you
in
talk
Boston
to any
to
dancer,
this.
Like yeah. any pro dancer that dances dance these, they recognize all these moves.
They're
these
ruining
are like
the
legit
dancing
moves.
Game industry.
They're I'm just saying, dance. Like.
Yeah. But this is a video game show, so let's talk about it from a video game standpoint of what has changed. What's going on with Kinect? Are we interested? Like, Rise of Nightmares, honestly, I think we're all in agreement, poo-pooing and joking aside, is that it's really not that good of a game.
It's taking too long. That's what I'm going to say. It's taking way too long for any software that's going to interest people to come out. I mean, Child of Eden could have done it. That game did not strike a chord with people. It did not sell very well. It's taking too long for any of the games that were showed off at TGS to actually come
they're
out.
They're still not here.
I think their market is fitness. That's absolutely their market. I mean, at the end of the day, you
is
know
that a
when
video
you,
game
that's
market?
Not good enough.
No, it's not. But like, listen, Zumba's done well. Zumba just announced this week, actually, that they're doing a Kinect game. And which is important because Zumba has done really well.
I recognize
like it's motion control. And whenever you do a motion control game, like I was responsible for reviewing Dance Central 2 and Kinect Sports Season 2 in the same week. And it's just a lot of standing and sweating and moving around. And like as a gamer, I'm just saying.
Sounds like a Friday night.
As a gamer, you don't expect to be like moving around that much. I'm like, hey, I ate Chipotle and had two beers. God damn it, I don't want to do Dance Central.
Rip. Is it Wednesday, guys? Sorry.
So I was excited about when the Kinect was announced, I was excited about head tracking in Forza.
Okay.
Which turned out to be a major bummer
me. You know, actually, a lot of people asked me about Forza. I actually did not have, I had a good experience with head tracking in Forza.
I'm a head trapper.
But the problem I had with it is that the
headlocks,
screen, like the idea in practical sense doesn't work. Like you wouldn't turn your head to the left to then look out of the corner of your eye to the right at the screen. The screen doesn't move. So like the idea of turning your head, even if it's calibrated well, still doesn't work.
Well, theoretically, it would be the same as me checking my mirrors, is that I'm not moving my head a lot.
When you check your mirrors, you probably just use your eyes.
Well, no, I move my head to check my mirrors.
When you check your blind spot, you turn all the way around, though.
You do?
Like this.
But you're doing a lot on
a
racetrack.
Do you also do the flip?
Check your blind spot!
I was going to parallel park on this track. I didn't know where to do it.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I understand it in practice, it turned out to be underwhelming.
Three of them.
And I thought the demo, I came away from the demo, the vertical slice of Rise of Nightmares, I came away from that enthused. I thought, wow, here we are in a survival horror game that I'm physically committed to the action. That is a more immersive, that is a more terrifying notion that I have to physically push a zombie off of me. I have to physically get into a situation that is terrifying. And in practice, the game does not hold up to the 2-minute demo that I played.
I'll leave Kinect on the floor because I'd like to get to
Uncharted. It doesn't work if you leave it on the floor.
Exactly. I'd like to get Uncharted
3. You have to put it on the TV or under the TV. You have to stand 6 to 8 feet away. This is a problem. This is why a lot of people don't.
Not
like
the only
Kinect.
Problem we're having. Go ahead.
I'll say this. I think that Kinect is dangerously close to falling into the same life pattern that we has so far of being exciting,
right.
but maybe even be more compressed because we've already gone through it once with Wii, of being exciting about a few, you know, like lightning rod
How many
titles that originally get the idea is like, wow, this is really cool. We could do this with this, and we can do this, and that works. And then everybody else going,
how many fuck tons of Wii balance boards were sold?
I have one. It's collecting dust underneath my couch.
Sadly. And they are
well, so you're not going to get anything
a piece
extra
of garbage now.
I think that Microsoft needs to focus on these better
so
with
the
Kinect titles.
So I'm saying,
they need to stop focusing on Kinect only titles and start focusing on more better with Kinect. Like a lot of the third party titles they have coming up, like Ghost Recon, Mass Effect, Halo.
Halo during the context of the game. This was interesting because this came up, you know, under the thread about all of the junk that you got last week, Jeff. I'm sorry you walked into so much trouble there.
I can handle it.
People pointed out that, you know, if you have a Kinect, you're going to be able to do this analyze function in Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary, where you'll be able to, you know, log an enemy, and then I guess also some of the precursor technology stuff, and then come back later in Kinect and explore it in three dimensions. Is that
like,
cool?
As an encyclopedia thing.
No.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything for me
either. I think it's good for hardcore fans that really are interested in looking more into the lore. But I mean, there's other things. You're neglecting the action combat features, like you can say reload and your gun reloads.
Oh god, that's amazing. That's so much easier than pressing X.
No, I'm not saying it's amazing. I'm just saying it's a feature. Like they've
it works
added
just
it.
Like
it's
real
an
guns.
Option.
No.
I just want to scream refund into my every time I play it now.
I mean,
I'm probably not going to ever
I think
use
you just
it.
Won this episode.
I just like the thing that bothers me, it's like even if you were a hardcore gamer that actually were interested in what Kinect could do, it's been so long since you've seen anything that interested you. If you didn't buy Child of Eden, at this point, you're still being told, wait. It's going to come. It's going to come. You know what? People are tired of waiting. It hasn't happened yet. And it's not. It doesn't seem like it's going to.
And you know what the other thing is?
There's all these promises are on the horizon that have not come to fruition. And I think people are just frustrated.
And chief among them was that I would be able to use my Kinect in concert with sitting on my couch and playing a game in a normal manner.
And you can.
To date. Really, what game uses that?
Listen, I'm gonna play devil's advocate here. It's not
what game uses
this
that?
This goes with the whole push that Microsoft is doing with the Kinect and the Xbox 360 as a whole. It's making it an entertainment machine.
What game uses that functionality?
Hold the phone there, Mr. Lee. I'm saying that
drinking
Microsoft is making this push towards this voice activation. Like Kinect is being able to they made this
dial
whole like
Andrea.
Suite of features.
What game does using that?
Here's the problem. So in all seriousness, it is we're unfortunately getting.
That's all I have to say about that.
We're getting technology and then looking for applications for that technology rather than going. I want to make this kind of game. I wish I had the technology to do that.
Andrew.
I agree, Jeff.
I think that would be...
Do you hear what I was saying, though?
Absolutely, I do.
They promised us we'd be able to sit in front of our television and do all these things. And so far, they've shown us... Like, it's a year later. I can't do any of those things.
From a gaming perspective, you're absolutely right. But from an entertainment perspective, you can use those voice commands to use your
Kinect.
That is a
problem. The voice command thing...
Round it up.
Wait a second. The voice command thing is a band-aid to the problem. The problem is that there's no software that utilizes the Kinect. If they wanted to give me a great voice-activated system, I could have just used my fucking headset. But instead, I have this Kinect thing that they're like, oh shit, let's throw some Kinect features in it. You could scream at your television and it'll reload your shit. Like, that doesn't matter. I want to see games that actually utilizes what Kinect is supposed to be able to do.
What do you want to see them do?
I want a lot of the stuff like the Project Drago stuff that I really think is interesting. It looks really good. I like Child of Eden. That software they showed at TGS last year, I really wish a lot of that had already been released by now.
Absolutely.
That's
and
the
you
problem.
Know what? Drago played great at TGS. It looked in really good shape. I think, though, but Drago, keep in mind, that's still a full body experience. And that's still a stand in front of the television, clear out space. And you know you're hunched over and then you're standing up and you're doing all those giant you know gesticulations
right,
and all this kind of stuff.
But if you don't want to move around when you're playing Kinect, just use a fucking controller. What's the difference?
What the promise was that we'd be able to sit in front of our televisions and use our hands at times to just wave them back and forth and command things.
I don't remember ever hearing that promise from anybody.
Well, there was those sort of menus.
There was that huge thread back and forth of does the Kinect work when you're sitting or not? tune in tonight on Blog Central Video Game.
Right. Well, that was more about, you know, navigating your Netflix queue.
And the one thing we have seen is that during the demonstrations for Steel Battalion, Steel Battalion does have a different initialization screen where it identifies you sitting, because it shows a silhouette of a person sitting, and then it identifies your body sitting there. And so they have at least started moving the SDK forward. But look, we're over a year forward. We're over a year past the launch of this thing.
Why does the Kinect
need to be a sitting thing? Like, it's a motion thing. If you want to be sitting on your ass, pick up your controller. Like, for real.
Because,
like,
the idea was
that
it would be incorporated into the greater experience of all the things we're doing and not just a separate thing. And that's where Wii is different. That's where Wii is different.
Well, here's the thing. Two things. First of all, nobody wants to pantomime.
No one, and
that's a problem.
No one wants to pantomime.
That's a problem.
That's a really good point.
And second of all,
unless it's air guitaring.
Modern hardcore gaming, and it's a problematic term to say hardcore, but modern mainstream gaming, I will say, the games that Xbox users traditionally get excited about,
and probably PS3,
are at a pace that is unsustainable with full motion of your body. You cannot play a game like
Halo. You mean aerobically?
I mean physically.
I can't keep up with it.
You can't create an experience like Gears of War or Halo that requires full body input and make it sustainable for a human being.
And play it for 9 hours like I did with the campaign of Gears of War.
That's why a lot of these games are relying on voice. And I think where Kinect can be revolutionary is by creating entirely new experiences, not trying to create the experiences we already love with a new control scheme. I think it's exactly what Molyneux was looking at the device and trying to do with Milo. This is something you've never been able to do before. You've never been able to sit down with something and have a conversation, C-Man aside, but, you know, have a conversation, interact with it in a slow, methodical, physical way. And I think those kinds of games, the kinds of games that L.A. Noire is actually old school adventure games can be revolutionized using this technology, and I haven't seen that game come out yet. And that's where, when this was first announced, that's where my head went, and I went, oh my God, I want to get excited about that game. I want to be
in that. So I would say the problem is there's a lot of games that we all may have pictured in our mind's eye.
And none of them are out.
None of which have come to fruition.
Agree.
Yeah. I think that's a problem.
I agree. You have a lot of good points there.
They're injecting what the Kinect can do versus what they're trying to build off of its capability.
As long as I'm slinging mud, I'll sling a little more mud. And I hate to do this because I feel like a shitty person doing it, but I'll sling a little more mud in that I feel like as much as Microsoft has pushed forward that they've really emphasized third-party publishing deals over the past several years, mm-hmm. and that they've never recovered from that big bloodletting they had when they got rid of Allard. And where, like, what is Microsoft Game Studios about? What are they about?
It's 343.
Yeah, that's about
okay.
It's 343 and it's Rare, but what has Rare done lately?
And
Rare designed the Avatar system that's in the 360.
So, like, where is that?
Well, they need that Steve Jobs figure. They need that guy that goes, you know, having the tech isn't enough. We need an elegant design. We need a functionality for this that makes sense. You know, you don't just come out with a front-facing camera. You come out with a front-facing camera, and
you need these brilliant.
You
need
these brilliant Siri to go with your voice recognition. Some sort of
electrifying creative ideas. You need electrifying creative ideas to go along with those expectations, because you're constantly building expectations, and then you have to meet those expectations. And no one knows that better than Naughty Dog. And they faced it with Uncharted, and here they are with Uncharted 3. And the first thing we hear is that an 8 or an 8.5 isn't a good enough score for a game. And you're like, what the hell?
That's a completely different problem.
We can argue about those things anyway. However, it is really interesting to look at it in terms of expectations grow to such a height that everything I've seen about Uncharted 3, and Zav's going to talk about it here. I'm handing it off to him because he's played it. But from everything he's told me, I have no doubt already that I'm just chomping at the bit to get my hands on the game.
No game that I've brought to the office has stopped productivity as much as Uncharted has.
This is true.
I brought the PS3 and the debug software to the office because someone at the office wanted to see it. And as soon as a few people in the office found out that it was there, everyone stopped what they were doing and came in to just watch me play a level. And it's very true, and I love the Eurogamer review for the game. Yeah. Which is the review that's
getting,
everyone's going crazy about it because it points out something that, you know, we don't score at Shaq News. So it points out something that
we're going to eventually.
It points out something that's very important, which is that it is a known quantity. It is something that they're building a franchise. They're continuing to build off of what they've done right with Uncharted 2. Uncharted 1 and 2 are vastly different games. They've changed a lot between the two. 2 to 3, not that much of a difference in terms of, you know, the way that it, the controls and the mechanics. What is important to that series and to me as someone who enjoys that series is telling a good story with good characters, with an interesting, with showing interesting locales, and constantly surprising you at every single turn. And that's something that I really enjoyed about Uncharted 3, which is that it doesn't stop, it doesn't turn everything up to 11 just so it can calm you down and get you hyped up for it. It's constantly showing you some new scenarios, and you see new things like some of the levels are fantastic. Like you have, there's an entire level that's like 10 minutes long where a plane is just disintegrating. Which is the trailer that you see this trailer online right now. The launch trailer shows Nathan Drake flying through the air. In every other game that would have been a cutscene, in Uncharted 3, that is playable. You control him.
You know, that's a really great point, and it's a point that I wanted to bring up when we were talking about Battlefield 3, and I found myself having to defend the game, so I didn't really talk about as many of my criticisms as I had. But you know, one of the wonderful things that we lauded Batman for is how seamlessly you go from kicking a lot of ass in an elegant, cool-looking way, and it tells the story at the same time. And Battlefield 3, of course, relies on these QTEs. And I think the way that Batman manages to keep you in the established game systems all the time, and that you can, it proves that you can do something over the top and incredibly cool looking and incredibly elegant and incredibly seamless, and it still stays with the main game systems that are established throughout, that when someone jumps out from behind something and attacks me and Batman needs to react and there's one moment where you seamlessly grab a guy's arm and shove, and he's holding this key and you shove, or sword, and you shove the sword into the wall to use it as a key. In so many games, that would be a QTE because they couldn't figure out how to fucking do that within the actual established game system. And in Batman, you know how to counter a move, and it just happens, and you're playing the game. You're using the button that you know you need to do in that situation, and you play the game. Rather than going, oh, hang on from the game for a second, we need to do this other thing that is completely disconnected from the experience and is just a button prompt on the screen.
May I contextually insert something here?
Please do.
All the conversations we've had over the past 12 months about like what a next console would be, I'm actually happy with more or less where the visuals are. I would like it to where there was enough hardware power that every designer could realize those ideas without having to do QTEs.
Don't you think that's a design decision and a fundamental design decision rather than a technological impediment?
It's a technology impediment a lot of times. It really is. It really is. Because you have to think that, like, you're working right now with a console that at its heart is 6-7 years out of date visual technology. And the first thing a consumer, and keep in mind, like, they have publishers breathing down their necks, developers do, to like, you know, you've got to make this game look great. You've got to give me something that I can put on the box. You got to give me an ad I can put on television. You got to give me something I can do to sell the thing. And so they have to do this great presentation. And when they do that, they burn up so much of the power that the hardware has that they're not left with that much to do these other things. And we've talked about it before. Like, that's why we think, you know, John Davis and I were talking about this like 5, 6, 7 years ago. Like, AI is the next big step forward.
I agree with you on a fundamental level, but I think on this particular point, I think we're still stuck, log jammed in this paradigm where you are a running target point.
I'll say it right now. You know what? I'll make a prognostication because people love when I do this. I'm glad I've been drinking because this will make me do it. Unreal 4, Unreal Engine 4, which they've said, I think, do you have the news story about their,
yeah,
like,
2014.
They want to be day and date with next generation consoles.
Right.
Will not use QTEs. All the stuff you think of right now as QTEs will be in engine,
but
in Unreal Engine 4.
That's not an engine decision.
That's not an engine decision whatsoever.
Yeah, it is.
No, that's a design decision.
Let me just finish
you guys,
my point.
Come on,
you
I think you're overlooking how much work it takes to make those things sync out and work
right. We're stuck in this paradigm.
There's a tremendous number of variables.
We're showing examples. If you think about Batman, where that could have been a QTE, they've figured out a design. They've made a decision in order to use the game systems in order to tell the story what needs to happen in that one particular situation.
Right.
And I would say that Rocksteady is more the, you know, they're not
the exception.
They're the exception.
I agree.
Like, but they're the guys who, like...
What we're stuck in is this paradigm, especially in the first-person shooter genre, where what you are is just a running target point. Do you remember those days when it was I can't figure out how to open this, how to call this elevator, and I just
shoot it? You're the timeline. You're the timeline on the AVID. You're like you're the timeline that's just moving down the line. You're moving down the line. Oh, here's the next point. Here's the next point. Here's the next point. Here's the next point on the video edit.
The interaction level for what I can do in the world is reduced to shoot it or not shoot it. And that is a fundamental design decision. And rather than creating a game where it's shoot it or not shoot it, there needs to be, like, for example, Batman, and it sounds like Uncharted in the same way, is that you have a way to interact with the world beyond that so that when these other moments happen, you can contextualize them in a completely inherent way.
And I think that's one of the things the Naughty Dog guys really keyed into, was that they needed to get away from that shooting mechanic, because one of the things that Zav told me right off the bat was that when they started into this game right off the bat was that they did, we're not going to let you shoot right off the bat.
Well, okay, so the first, you don't actually pick up a weapon in Uncharted until the third chapter of the game. It is a game that is based purely on telling a story with these characters. They've established
The
gameplay is like.
Absolutely.
And there are QTE moments in Uncharted. My point of mentioning that the section with the airplane is not a cutscene is not really based on whether or not it's a QTE or anything. It's just about how they tell stories very elegantly within the context of their gameplay mechanics and their gameplay systems. They're very good at that. And this isn't, and it's weird because Uncharted 2, it was a game that I really wanted to play. I really wanted to play because they changed so much and I wanted to play Uncharted 2. This game, I wanted to play it, but more than ever, I wanted to see what was going to happen. I wanted to see this story because Naughty Dog, Amy Hennig, the people at Naughty Dog do a very good job. And, you know, the characters, Nolan North and all the rest of the actors that are involved, they do a great job of setting the scene and telling a really impressive story that you don't really see in video games. And I like this game on so many different levels. It is not a revolution or really an evolution of what they've done in Uncharted 2, but it is fantastic. The story is amazing. The co-op is great. It takes place sort of in between Uncharted 2 and 3. You see some locales of Uncharted 3, but it actually tells you the story of some of the characters that you left behind in Uncharted 2. And the multiplayer is great. I love Uncharted 3. I think it's a great game. It's not going to reinvent the wheel, but it's a fantastic title.
I don't think games need to always reinvent the wheel.
Right. I don't think so.
Wagon wheel.
If they have a strong enough story and engaging enough gameplay, they don't need to do something extraordinarily new and different with the gameplay mechanic, in my opinion.
It's a conversation we've had on this show in its very iterations for a very long time.
Yep.
Of how much longer will video games be viewed as a technology as opposed to a medium? And as long as they're a technology, it's like cell phones.
I think
it's like, I've got a bigger screen. I've got a faster processor.
Yeah.
I've got more 4Gs. I've got, like, whatever.
And
at some point in time, you have to realize that a game is not a physical piece of hardware that you get. It's a piece of entertainment medium.
Well, and Naughty Dog has taken everything that they've learned over the years, and they've used those systems to tell a story in a way that they haven't done before. And, they borrow a lot of their ideas from things like The Last Crusade. The story reminds me a lot of The Last Crusade. So that part of it, and just retelling and telling the story of those characters, I think, is my favorite part.
You know, I think that's a profound point that you make, Garnet. And nobody walks out of, whatever movie you want to bring up and says, it was 94 minutes? Oh, it was 94 minutes. Oh, well, dude, the entire experience was only 94 minutes.
Actually, Rotten Tomatoes has a number of people who do that.
Really?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, it does.
A lot of people are concerned.
And there was the Avatar crowd that was hot on that. But in general, I agree with you.
That the metric is different.
It is different.
You know? And I think...
Well, games are also $60.
And
the most expensive movie ticket is only $18. Just saying.
Yeah, but bring your family of four to a movie.
Tremendous number of games coming out this fall. One of the big questions that listeners had, and I love this listener's name, Tickly Gonad.
Tickly Gonad.
Tickly Gonad.
Tickly.
Says, How do you believe the industry will be affected with so many great titles competing in such a small window? So this is a long question about, we have this every year. I'd like you guys to narrow this down a little bit, though, to this year specifically. What impact do you think this year's crop of AAA titles, all compressed into one small window, plus whatever else is coming out, will have on the industry?
Oh, wow.
I'll tell you what. I'll kick it off.
December a huge month.
I've already talked about this.
November.
I think that...
We should probably pick that up on the...
On the flip side? We can pick it up on the flip side. I'll leave you this as the drop to it. I articulated this last time. I said, you know what? I'm really worried about what's going on with the digital spectrum. Why are you bringing out great games like Orcs Must Die and Dungeon Defenders in this window? There is no way you're going to get attention for them.
Right.
I am very hopeful that some of these published, now that you have large-scale publishers involved in this, that they'll look at their product line and say, all right, guys, we have... You know, these AAA titles, we have these social titles, we have these mainstream titles. There's more stuff than we can possibly remotely expect the consumer to have the dollar to spend in this area, in this space. Let's move some of these around. And we see it happening a little bit, but not enough. We shouldn't be shoehorning these digital titles into the fall. There's great spaces for them, great spaces for other titles as well, and great spaces for us to pick up when we come back on the other side right after this. From Badass, featuring Lil Wayne, it's Forgive Me, off his mixtapes, I'm Back, and It Ain't Went Nowhere.
Found and unbound yourself.
Yeah, double dollar sign, rats for show. Live to grindhouse. Beach, cause that's where I'm from. New York. I'm from the filthy southern part of Killer, California. Pass the money to the wrong kind of killers run up on you. How you winning when you always trying to scrape up for some dinner? That ain't living. You might as well make somebody kill you with your vision. When you're peeking out your cell in the prison, can't miss unless another nigga grant you with some wishes. I decided to make some real powerful decisions this time. I won't compromise my position. Draw the line and set a little standards for yourself. Use your mind. A fucking dummy's nothing with some money. Push the line. Motherfuckers dying over crumbs all the time. And kids in the streets just praying with their lives.
Please let me up into heaven's gate. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to God. Forgive me for my sins, please let me up into heaven's gate. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take.
Don't play with your life out here like it's a game. Found slain in the back of the truck.
Wow,
that was a very short drop that Brooklyn gave
me
right
there.
Fade
it the fuck out!
She's like, whoop-a! There you go.
Now deal with it!
I want to apologize to the audience who doesn't get to hear what happens during the breaks, because there's a whole second show that's happened.
There was a whole second show there. There was,
and it's
indeed
probably much better than this first show.
Do you think so?
I'm really happy that people can hear that.
To certain,
do
certain,
you think so?
To a certain perspective.
You so, guys should make that a contest to have a viewer come and sit in during a recording.
Didn't we do that?
That was last week.
Did I miss that? My bad.
We were...
Did you have beers and bourbon?
No, I think that's what made this episode
Lame.
Special.
We were doing listener feedback beforehand. Do you guys recall where we were?
Seriously?
I'm just asking.
You had a very thought-provoking question.
Yeah, you left us off with a really cool thing about something. Remember? What? Does anybody remember?
Wow, cause has been lost.
Oh, wow.
You guys got nowhere. You got into nothing. So
I love it.
We were going to talk about Grand Theft Auto 5.
We were going to talk about Grand Theft Auto 5. So it was announced. And next week, we will get the trailer.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
What do you think is going to be in it?
A lot of rumors floating around about what it might be.
Supposedly, it's set in Los Angeles. That's what I've heard.
Allegedly.
Apparently, there's multiple playable characters.
Allegedly.
Hence, supposedly, allegedly, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Allegedly.
Well, do you think that if it's set in Los Angeles, another thing obviously is that people are wondering whether or not it's going to utilize the technology that the team at LA Noire did. I don't think it would, specifically because that company still has yet to be paid.
Dude,
Team
Bondi,
yeah, there was a lot of problems.
Well, no,
with
the guy Brian McNamara, who actually was the producer on LA Noire, started the company. I can't remember what it's called, that actually did the facial recognition software that created the company behind it, and they're still owed, I think, $130,000 or something for the work on LA Noire. Ouch. So I don't assume that you're going to see that technology in Grand Theft Auto 5. It's not something that I would presume that's going to happen exactly. But, I mean, there are a lot of rumors floating around of what it may be, obviously. It's going to be a huge game. Do you think that it's going to be extremely leaning towards more of a I mean, they're constantly leaning more towards a realistic approach.
No, I don't think
something
so.
Like
I think that they'll take a cue off of Call of Duty and recognize like what's worked for Grand mm-hmm. Theft Auto is to be over the top. I mean, come on, they've been realistic enough right. to have fun with it. Like they had CJ where you like had to control his weight and like you rode the bicycle to like sure. lose weight, or you could eat donuts and get fat and that whole sort of thing. But they're not like super hardcore off the deep end. What is going to be interesting is to see how much Grand Theft Auto 5 controls the space within which it's released, which is what we were talking about right before we went to break, which was how much impact has it had that we've had all these dominant right. titles right, going right. into this space, and what's it going to do to the industry? And I think that's going to be really interesting, because once GTA 5 is out there and it says, hey, we're coming out on whatever it might be, like November of 2012 or February of 2013 or whatever it might be, do other titles adjust to go around it, or do sure. they try and go head to head with it? And how do other publishers adjust their release?
I think
lists?
That's what we've seen in the last couple of years. It's become more and more setting out your date early on, like the film industry has done, you know, with you know, Skyrim 11/11/11, sure. and you know, right. all these key dates saying we're setting these in stone. I mean, it wasn't too long ago where no company did that. In fact, you know, certain people got tattoos to prove that that was possible. Right. Yeah. You know, like no one thought it was possible to do that in the video game industry. And it has become possible. And people
I got
are
my
doing...
tattoo right here.
Yeah, right there. Show it off. Oh dear God, put that away.
Liar.
I think I was blinded by that gun.
blinded by but, life.
But yeah, I think absolutely a game of this, you know, of this pedigree is going to influence other releases around it. Sure. And I think that I don't think that any of these games that are coming out now, although there are such heavy hitters every single week ramping up to the holidays, yeah. I don't think any of them is going to suffer because of where they're coming out. I really don't.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, November 15th particularly is a day that there's literally like six AAA titles coming out on that day.
Really?
Assassin's Creed Revelations. What else? A Need for Speed
Ultimate
Run.
Marvel vs. Capcom.
Ultimate yeah, that's
Saints Row the Third.
I thought we were talking right. AAA titles.
Yeah, I did too.
Oh.
Assassin's Creed, Saints Row.
No, I got you
no,
with
no,
Assassin's Creed.
No, this is a
Creed.
Great discussion. Should
Need
we discuss
Speed
what a
sells.
AAA title
that's,
is?
That's
what if, sure, if you want to.
Franchise.
Because like I was actually just sitting here thinking that, like, you know, if 5 years, 4 years ago you had come to me and said, hey, you know what? Actually, Saints Row is going to wind up being the real competitor, not True Crime. I might have been trying to make an argument for True Crime. Yeah, this is before the whole Snoop Dogg thing. And like when True Crime was first coming out, I was like, seems you know, like True Crime might player. Be onto something. It like mm-hmm. looks like it has a legitimate chance to be a competitor in this marketplace. Yeah. And then now it's just sort of like falling off the cliff.
What happened over there?
Halo.
I said Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary Edition is also on that day.
Yeah.
Budget Halo title.
What do we do with that thing?
It's not
I don't even know what to make
Halo
of it.
Title.
It is. It is.
No, it's
40
not.
Bucks.
It's speaking 40 bucks. To a. It's speaking to a generation that came in at Halo 3 or Halo Reach that never played the original Halo Combat.
All those kids you were babysitting.
Is it an essential title for that generation? I think not.
I'm not saying it's an essential title. I'm saying it's a franchise. Halo is a household name as far as video games go, in my personal opinion. Like, I think they've really established themselves as, like, we are a brand. Everyone knows what Halo is that has anything ever to do with video games.
I think
ever.
That game is fan service, and I think that it's preaching to the choir, and I don't think its target audience is people that never played the first one.
You don't
I'm
think
not
so.
Trying to say I'm not trying to I, say that they're doing something different. Clearly it's a revitalization, and we're seeing a lot of these HD collections that are coming out, like Metal Gear Solid.
I agree with Jeff, and I'll say why, because
Uncharted's even doing
if
one,
you were 8 years old when Halo came out, now you're 18 years old, you don't want to play the original Halo because it controlled completely different from what Reach is.
Yeah, but you don't know that.
But let me throw a different card.
you're discounting the ignorance of the audience.
No, I'm not. It's not about ignorance. It's about general knowledge. Like, I honestly don't believe that the general gamer who's never played Halo Combat is thinking of the actual mechanics of it versus the mechanics of Halo Reach.
You know, one time
I
when we were
that
doing
that's
the
like
one-up
a hardcore
show,
gamer audience.
Richard Lee ordered. Well, there was this whole joke about General Tso's chicken. Actually, it was Jason Bertrand. And General Tso's chicken, and he ordered General Chicken, and he didn't know what General Tso's chicken was, so he just ordered General Chicken, and he's like, they were like, what do you want for chicken? And he's like, I just want General Chicken.
they just gave him like a pile of white meat.
Boiled chicken. They said,
boiled chicken.
I just want some General Chicken.
He's like, I want General Chicken.
Just, you know, your average everyday General Chicken.
But to bring things back to Halo a little bit.
Okay.
You're saying that Halo base is the general chicken.
It is. It is. And the install base is such so different than that. I think that the nostalgia factor plays a little bit, but that there's a much stronger factor for what Andrea is talking about. There's a lot of people who have heard of Halo. And look, Xbox, when Halo came out, for all of its successes, was nowhere near as successful as what the 360 is now. The 360 now is in many factors of multiples of how many times households it's in, right? So
yeah,
like I don't know what the number is, like probably
it's 55 million worldwide.
So is that like five times as many households?
I don't know how many houses there are.
Were they like in 10?
That'd
like,
be 11 million.
So does that sound about right for Xbox? Are you guys okay with that number?
I really have no idea.
Someone
have no
can
idea.
Look it up. But yeah, let's say that like a factor of four or five times as many folks have 360s, and we're a decade later, and now you say, hey, this game that was great, we have the same game, but we're doing it in a modern engine with modern visuals, modern sound, but it's still the same core experience. Still get all that, and you get multiplayer.
I'm not disparaging the product. I think it's not just a stellar product. I don't know.
I'm sorry. I was trying to read Zav's chicken scratch over here. He was writing something down. I was like, I can't read that.
Actually, that's General Chicken Scratch.
Oh, sorry. He wrote that in Canadian.
General Chicken Scratch. No. Okay. I'm going to speak from my own personal experience.
This won't take long.
No, speak from Zav's experience.
Oh. Thanks. Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. Anyway, I'm very new to the first-person shooter genre just because as a personal gamer, like that just wasn't a
personal knowledge. Gamer.
Personally.
Can you hire those
gamer,
at Macy's? I'd like walk.
Shut
can
up.
I hire a
we're
personal
drinking.
Gamer?
It's not my fault. Shut my gammer. My gammer. My gammer. My grammar is bad. What I'm saying is.
Oh, boy. My gammer is Brad.
Yes, exactly. I never used to really play first-person shooters because it wasn't something that I enjoyed. One of the very first FPSs I ever played was Halo Reach. Without having any experience with the Halo franchise, I really latched onto that and really loved it. So personally, I am excited for the Halo Combat Evolved HD remake because I never played Halo Combat Evolved when it originally came out. Because when that came out, I was a young female focused on many other things besides...
Like what?
Jeff, that was the dirtiest fucking thing you have ever done, dude.
Like not playing Halo as a 16-year-old girl. That's
and not,
board, not what I was doing.
And by the way, not yeah. board games either.
Yeah, don't play Halo. Yeah, that's right. You don't play it.
But it has nothing to do with how good or bad the game was. It's just like at that time period of my life, I wasn't focused on that. But now, as an older gamer, someone who's more interested in that type of game, I want to go back and play that, and I'm going to go buy that game. And I think that I'm not alone in saying that.
And there's your numbers right there.
You're not alone.
It's 25 million units on the original Xbox by the time this article came out. But yeah, so that answers that question.
I may have overstated it when I said no game is going to suffer. You're right. It's a crowded marketplace at this time of year. Mm-hmm. It's a very crowded marketplace. I think that, you know, holiday sales go a long way. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be a huge month that's going to boost the entire year of video game industry. And there's so many great games coming out right now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a worthy... goal to try to space those things out over the course of the year. But I do think, I mean, it's proven that you know, the majority of the purchases happen at this time. And I don't think that that's just because the games are coming out. I do think that the holiday sales, I'm just cocking out of my ass right now.
I think that.
I'm just trying.
All right, can we do this real quick?
Let's
wrap Grand Theft Auto 5 up because we kind of got a field of that. Are you okay with that? And Zab, we'll come back to what you're, jot that down.
Sure.
So Grand Theft Auto 5. What do you guys want out of it? I'll tell you what I want.
Tell me what you want.
I want something that recaptures...
Your youth.
No. That's like way too
your
far
Pokemon.
In the past. You know what? I loved like the 80s vibe thing that
Vice
we got.
City.
Vice City was...
Oh, it was my favorite.
Vice City...
Like an era sort of...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Like you get that period thing. So they've tried to latch on to different things. You know, they did San Andreas, which was trying to catch into like the NorCal, SoCal thing. And that was...
90s kind
of... It was very successful. I thought that was pretty 90s, successful. Yeah. But a distraction of CJ and like the different body... Like they had like all sort of other things going on there. But Vice City was like very much like, you know what? Miami Vice, Michael Mann, that's fucking cool. Let's capture that.
What that did really well is that it also re- it it was, you know, something that was nostalgic because you would play, you know, the game and then you would see references to things that you remember from the 70s. And
so I don't exactly know, because, I mean, look, we're just sitting here like shooting from the hip. And this is not like a full-scale workup for a game development. But if they could find the next thing around which they could...
Like?
The next catalyst. The next catalyst around which they could build
example,
that.
For example?
I don't know. I mean,
I think they should do a thing about what Andrew was doing instead of playing Halo.
maybe like
being a teenage girl.
How about this? Yeah. How about this? How about no Grand Theft Auto Trainspotting?
No.
What is that?
Here's the trouble. I think that Rockstar is going to get into with their new Grand Theft Auto is that you're coming into a very different
Pulp Fiction.
Body of gamers than you were even 5 years ago. I think the
I hate coming into a body of gamers.
It always smells really weird.
That's what she said. Anyway, my point was the average gamer today is different than the average gamer even 5 years ago.
True.
Gamers, the gaming market has exploded in such a way that like it crosses so many age groups in genders. There's more females playing today than there was before. There's more, I mean, literally like the demographic just on my channel is like 13 to 65. Like the 13-year-old and the 65-year-old obviously have different gaming needs and different gaming goals.
So I don't think you can go
by not being and out. I think
they will not should not be hanging out with each other.
No, they should not. But I'm saying like Vice City was a game that worked because you're talking about the 80s, which is a time period that was loved by many people of different age ranges.
And there's never been a time that has been loved by people of different age ranges. The 80s were unique, you guys.
Oh my god. All right,
to move on to what I'd like to see.
What would you like?
My point is.
I knew it was in there somewhere. I was just looking for it.
Hold on.
That's what she said.
Maybe to you.
Keep holding your wiener. Okay. God. My point is that I feel like if they make another general Grand Theft Auto game like Grand Theft Auto 4, which was an amazing game, let's not get it twisted, that was an awesome, awesome game.
Okay.
I think that they'll maybe find more success if they find a niche.
So what is that? Give me
an example. So Andrea, hold on. That's exactly. Are you saying exactly what I was trying to say?
Yes.
Which is that I think that if they,
but you guys are talking about this fictional, hypothetical.
So you're right.
Niche.
So you have to sit around and think about this. Like what is it? Let me take this out of context for a minute. Assassin's Creed for me in the first game was interesting, but they had a lot of things that they did over and over, and it just wasn't clicking. And then they hit the Renaissance. And there was something that just crystallized for them around the Renaissance. And obviously, they caught on to it.
They fixed some basic gameplay systems.
But not only did they fix some basic gameplay systems, but they found an atmosphere that worked for them. They found a place and character that they owned. And they said, this is our space. Nobody else has this space. We have this space. We are this space. And they created Venice. And they created Rome. And they created this like fiction of you're an assassin, but you're a hero assassin.
Well, there's an argument to be made that Assassin's Creed is Grand Theft Auto Renaissance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why I went there.
Right.
But I think there's a very valid argument. That's exactly why I went there. But so you know, Grand Theft Auto, modern milieu. Where do you go with it? I don't know. I mean, I think 50s is... That's an interesting idea.
Isn't
you mean L.A. Noir?
Right. Exactly. But I mean, you could go to a different, grittier... You could go to a Godfather-y sort of, like, you know,
Mafia?
30s or 20s. Mafia has done it. But, I mean, Grand Theft Auto would own
it. Taking Grand Theft Auto into the future is a bad idea?
No.
Doing future?
I think it would be absolutely fucking intriguing. Blade Runner was very successful with taking a noir and moving it into the future...
That would be a major misstep for the series. Yeah. I do.
Oh, are you kidding me? If they hit it out of the park like Blade Runner, you'd be astounded.
That's a new IP. That's a new IP.
Part of the
that doesn't need to be Grand Theft Auto.
Part of what makes Grand Theft Auto a special franchise to a lot of people is because it connects itself to popular culture. And if you were going to go into the future, you would lose a lot of what people respect about it.
That's a very good point.
Which is by connecting it to something like the music of the time. The look of the time. It connects people to the experiences anymore, that they already are familiar with. What I would like for them to do, and because we're talking about Assassin's Creed, this and that, and that, they're also competing with themselves in terms of Red Dead and L.A. Noire. And what I would like for them to do, and I think this Rockstar would be the company to do it, which is to make the main character in the game a woman.
Whoa. That would never happen.
Dude,
that's
awesome.
Did
you read that somewhere, or is that you?
No, that's what I think.
Because that's a brilliant idea. That's a brilliant freaking idea.
Vulnerable. I wrote vulnerable but tough.
When I worked for Asylum, AOL property, I wrote an article about gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender characters in games. And one of the companies that keeps coming back to taking chances, quote unquote, in this industry is Rockstar. They have minority characters as their leads. They have gay characters as their leads.
They have the relationship options at Bully.
And the reason why it's successful for Rockstar is because they already have a collection of people that are willing to follow them to these stories. People who don't care about the preconceived notions of what is going to happen when play a game as a gay character.
I don't even think it's that. I think that if any company had the goddamn balls and level of execution,
that's what I'm trying to say.
It's a combination of actually trusting their own audience and not insulting the intelligence of their audience, and then also having the level of execution to do it in a really effective, mature manner, mature with a small m instead of a big m, you know. And I think any company could do it, and it doesn't necessarily mean because people follow them.
I think my point of that is that I think that less people would be likely to say that I don't want to play this game as a woman for Rockstar titles as opposed to any other game.
That would be a friggin' brilliant thing. If Grand Theft Auto 5 came out and you play as a woman the entire time, and the entire game is sort of about the female experience.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you
I'll give you the game systems.
You know what,
because
though? I think it would probably fall flat. And I say that because.
Because you hate women.
Yeah. As a woman, I hate women. Obviously, you've never heard anything.
But you've had this argument on this site before.
Yes, exactly. No, here's my thing. Grand Theft Auto as a whole, just the gameplay mechanics that we've known, are very anti-female and anti-female power. I mean, the fact that, even as a woman in games like Vice City, that you would drive around and find a hooker, pick her up, and then punch her in the face and take your money back. I mean,
and get health for it.
Right, but my point is this.
To think that you would have a female character as your lead, you're totally disengaging your core audience. I don't think that they would go for it. I just don't.
My point is this, is that Rockstar as a company as a whole has evolved has become a little bit more mature in the sense that how women are treated, bad way to put it, in Red Dead, for example. I mean, there is a character that has a dedication to his family who doesn't go looking for hookers.
But
those things
exist. But Rockstar
exist
still
in
has
the
never
world.
Had a female protagonist. But,
and they never had a black protagonist before they did
CJ.
And I think
CJ.
I think,
no, but that's my point.
CJ was
I also
awesome.
Think your definition of the Grand Theft Auto game is completely outdated. I don't even think that describes Grand Theft Auto 4.
That's not my definition
of
the game.
Like what
I'm
saying
the Grand Theft Auto gamer kind of expects that when you play Grand Theft Auto, there's this kind of looseness of morality that comes along with the open worldness of the game. That
wouldn't it be fascinating to explore that through a female perspective? Wouldn't it be fascinating to see how does that work dealing with a completely different set of moral...
Yes, I totally agree with that. It would be awesome, and I would love it. I just don't think that they would sell units.
How good is Grand Theft Auto that it opens up so many interesting conversations that we're having here?
They're really the only company on the map that does anything even remotely.
Way more grounded.
Yes, that's why we all love Rockstar.
Way more grounded. My thought right now is like, well, what if, since they've already done the like soldier coming back from the battlefront, what if they did disenfranchised 2003 Bush 1 era? One tour in Afghanistan, one tour in Iraq. Guy who comes back to America.
Well, if they want to do something really,
real.
If they want to do something really,
really
provocative,
because that'd be fucking
edgy,
like that would be messed up,
dude. Seriously, Garnet, if they want to do something really provocative and edgy, they'll do a game set directly after 9/11.
Yeah,
that is the game that is the taboo.
Can you imagine like the game opens with 9/11? Boom.
Yeah.
Wow. I think that's a little too heavy for Rockstar. I think they like to keep a little bit more comical.
I think it's too heavy for anybody.
Too heavy for anybody right now.
The Grand Theft Auto franchise is inspired by the real world, but doesn't
actually exist in the real
world.
It's not real. Right. Liberty City, they call it Liberty City.
There's two things, though, that I wanted to say about it. Is that I think that your idea of what Grand Theft Auto is, Andrea, is that you would inject, what you think I'm saying is that I would inject a female lead into what we already perceive to be Grand Theft Auto, which is, you know, hookers and treating women like shit and all this other stuff, which is, I think that if any company would have the guts or the balls to take a female protagonist and decide to adjust the systems based on this industry and based on the games that they've made, it would be Rockstar. And people are not going to not buy Grand Theft Auto because a woman is in the lead. If that were the case, then Ballad of Gay Tony wouldn't have sold units. You know what I mean? That is not the perception. It's Grand Theft Auto, the franchise.
I don't know if I can argue that. I don't think that you can argue that the Ballad of Gay Tony is the same as having a woman protagonist. I don't know. Like, as a female in gaming, like, there's so much resistance to just being a woman in the gaming world. And I would really love to hear from your listeners and see what their thoughts are about this, because I honestly just don't believe that they would have the support with a female protagonist in a rock star Grand Theft Auto game that they would with a male.
All right, everybody.
Just,
there you go.
That.
Female, go ahead.
I want to hear what they have to say about it.
The last thing is, like, if ever there was a company that would... You said that people don't expect that from Grand Theft Auto. If ever there was a company that didn't give a shit what people expect from them,
this is the company that
Rockstar
made Bully,
which I appreciate about Rockstar. I really do.
Female protagonist. How do you feel about it? Let us know. Shagnews.com in the comments.
Man,
Zav,
you kind of blew my mind, Zav. I think that's a profound. I don't think it's going to happen.
It's not.
But it'd be a profound, bold, incredible step, and it would really push the entire medium forward.
And there is for the listeners, there is a major difference between being able to play as a woman and having the game based be about a woman.
Yes, yeah. And we're not talking about select your gender at the start,
like
menu.
Saints Row.
We're talking about creating a game in the same way that the Niko Bellic experience was about the immigrant experience in New York City.
The American Dream.
Yes. That you would create something that is about the gender experience,
the beauty of
in America.
I'd say, and that's why I said the thing about the guy coming back, because the beauty of Grand Theft Auto 4 is the deconstruction of the postmodern American dream. Mm-hmm. And that is amazing.
Yeah, the
that
perception of what the American dream is and what it actually is.
And I think if you look at Red Dead as being a evolutionary step for this company, it is so far away from what it was once perceived at with Grand Theft Auto 3 that, you know, that game is so much more about creating a narrative that is about the sort of nuance of what America is, the definition of America, definition of what we did to the Native American population, the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, all those really mature small m ideas, and it's done with an approach that you never find in video games. I think that that kind of take on the female experience in America would be absolutely groundbreaking.
All right, Zav and Andrea, wrap up the news for us. You got 5 minutes.
Well, there was one major news piece from Nintendo, which is that they posted a $927 million loss.
And they didn't sell any games.
Also, they took a loss on the Nintendo 3DS hardware. Of course, the price of the console went down when they dropped the price. And they've also had to account for the difference between the yen and the US dollar.
Killing them.
Which is
killing
huge,
all Japanese companies.
Huge issue right now.
By the way,
it sucks that they didn't sell any games, but with all those incredible releases that they put out.
You know what also sucks is they have new DSi XL bundles for the holiday period, and they're still $180.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, guys.
I would like to get an XL, but
I want
pricey.
An XL.
Yeah.
The 130.
You can get a 3DS for $170.
I know.
Like, why would
makes
you
no
get
sense.
A DSi
in
this, XL?
It makes no sense. Give me a DSi XL for $120 or $130. I would buy it. I'll be all over it. I want the blue color.
I'm excited for Mario 3D Land, though.
In this quarter, there wasn't a lot of huge releases. Of course, Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, but next quarter or the next couple of weeks or months, Mario Kart 7, stupid title, and Super Mario 3D Land, which both of those games I'm super excited about.
With the
about.
Amazing Ori clip-on, makes it a steering wheel 3DS driving adapter.
You damn right, son.
It's like, have you seen the Forza 4 thing for Xbox?
That thing actually works really well.
It's amazing.
That thing looks
weird. No, it's cool. It's
as
good. I have it at home. It's awesome.
Taken as a controller, not as a wheel, it works well.
But isn't it supposed to be a wheel?
Do you use it for dance?
It's not really
too?
A wheel. No. It's a controller.
Yeah.
And I attribute that quick realization to Gaff, like one of the guys posting there, and like pointed that out. And I was like, oh, you know what? Yeah, I see what you're saying. Because what happens is, like, unlike a stick where you have a short throw translated to a large radius.
You lost me.
Okay, so
meaning the stick on the Xbox 360 controller controls a large movement on the screen, but in reality, the physical movement is really small.
This is Drunken Translations with Andrew Rennie.
Is that right?
I'm about to.
Thank you.
Thank you. So it's basically like the old. It's basically like the old surfboard add-on that you could put on.
Oh God!
Remember that shit from TC Surf?
Yes, I totally remember that. Where like at the surfboard.
Oh, you have to put the on the nub.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Super rad.
Nub.
But it works, is what
it
you're
works.
Saying.
It works.
There's some Mass Effect news that Andrew wants to talk about.
Well, there was a bunch of Mass Effect co-op multiplayer previews that came out. Obviously, people in the Mass Effect community are very up in arms about the fact that, you know, BioWare has announced that there's going to be co-op multiplayer in Mass Effect, which has been obviously very strong single-player experience. As a hardcore Mass Effect fan, and I say that very confidently...
Which character did you have sex with?
Liara. She's
interesting.
Hot.
Duh. Is she the blue chick? She
yeah, was, the Asari.
She was not playing
no,
Halo.
She's hot.
While she was doing that.
I was, actually.
Not
Halo Reach.
Halo.
Plasma rifle's my
She's
favorite.
Just twiddling the sticks.
No, but as a hardcore Mass Effect fan, I can say that I'm actually very excited for this co-op experience. I think that it gives players an additional
threesome
option. Yeah, well, foursome actually. To play Mass Effect, and you get to create a custom character. You get to be a Drell, an Asari, a Krogan, a Salarian, a Turian, or a human. I had one of
the
my
fact
view-
that you remember well, that impressed. Is impressive.
I have a fan on my side that was really sad that he couldn't be the.
The
that?
Thing.
I've forgotten the elephant.
Oh,
the elephant,
oh
right?
Yeah, yeah. The guy
Packadudes.
Yeah.
Packadudes.
Packadudes. The Packadudes. Yeah. Of the Packadoo clan.
The Packadudes. No.
Lord Packadoo.
The
Packadudes
the
never
Elcor.
Forget.
The Elcor. That's
Jesus.
What they're called.
Can we wrap this up with pandas where we started off?
Yes.
I'm
no,
trying to do
well,
all
anyway,
the callbacks,
what
bro.
I'm saying is they've added a couple new features. There's a bunch of mini missions within the mission. So it's a horde style mode, the multiplayer is. But within the mission, not only do you have to take down whoever your enemies are, whether they be like mechs or Geth or a Reaper, whoever they are, you have to also do side missions like defuse this bomb or pick up these data packets
or kill a pack of dudes
or turn on yes the pack of dudes. Anyway, I feel like it's really cool, and I think it's great that BioWare is kind of leading into this whole rumor that they're going to start this Mass Effect MMO, which has been kind of floating around for a while. Like, we want an MMO, excuse me, an MMO, MMO, MMO in the Mass Effect universe.
Oh, thank you, God.
Because the universe is so vast and amazing, and there's all these different species that exist, and there's all these stories to be told, and I think...
That's
you know,
what Carl Sagan told us. He was all about it. The universe is so yeah. vast and amazing.
Anyway, the co-op experience, I think, kind of like opens the
cool.
door for that. And I'm really happy for it, and I'm really excited for it, and I...
Do you want a Mass Effect MMO?
Yes, I do. I want a Mass
Effect
MMO.
Seriously. I'm serious. I'm not... I'm sorry. But do you really want one?
But you don't really play MMOs, do you?
I don't... play MMOs, but I would play a Mass Effect MMO because I'm that much of a fangirl. And I'm going to play the Star Wars MMO because
really?
I love Star Wars, yes. Yeah. I'm a sci-fi geek. I can't help
All right, myself. Well, we're going to get a little insight here from each of you to wrap up the show. We like to call them finishing moves.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Finishing moves.
Yes, and it's time to finish him. I'm going to finish him first because that'll give everybody time to think a little bit about it. So we had this conversation earlier about multiplayer games, and last week Jeff got in a tremendous amount of difficulties over defending publishers. Now,
well, I wouldn't phrase it that way, but go ahead.
Last
one
week,
sentence.
Yes,
that's what I'm saying.
One sentence. Okay, my one sentence finishing move is the challenge that you face. If you are developing a multiplayer game, is that within the first 3 weeks, you have many multiple times higher incidence of concurrent users on your servers than you'll have at any other time
yeah.
through the remainder of the period that you're supporting the game, and that you can't just go out and buy that many servers just to launch the game.
And
however,
it's also where you make a first impression.
It's also where you make a first impression. So on the other hand...
Longest sentence ever.
On the other hand, what you need to do is have a way in the infrastructure where you could purchase enough dynamic range for your bandwidth to be able to support all of those users concurrently at the same time while simultaneously adding enough conjunctions that you endure the sentence to where it keeps going long enough that Andrea actually slides under the chair while she's still laughing.
Done and done.
Yeah.
Is that really your finishing move?
Does My finishing move is this. My finishing move is this real quickly.
That was your introduction to your finishing move?
Finishing move is this.
Christ.
There are a number of challenges that face these guys.
Right.
I'm not defending them. However, It is a tough situation, and we need to also develop the technical infrastructure to support the developer structure so that both can work together. Boom. Done. Andrea.
I'm taking Femship home tonight. Rawr.
That's not a finishing. Well, that is a finishing.
She's finished.
Yeah.
She's finished early. Wow. Jeff?
Somebody driving her home.
Who's going to drive you home?
This is a Halloween weekend. Halloween weekend.
As he grabs his nipples.
I was. It's true. I was getting ready. Last year at this time, we had Costume Quest, which was an awesome Halloween game. This year, I had a little, very small amount of playtime with Infamous Festival of Blood.
Festival of Blood.
Which is a super cool idea. I've played very little of it, but I love this idea of breaking off and giving you an established game world, an established fighting system, and all those fun things that we have already
this Sunday
this game.
At the Superdome. Festival of Blood takes on Grave Digger in a monster truck madness event.
But thrown in a completely different milieu that you would never do actually in the context of the game. It's very similar to the Red Dead zombie stuff. It's Infamous with vampires, and that's really cool, and it's cool it's tied to Halloween. It's great, fun Halloween thing.
Is it actually Infamous with vampires?
Yeah. Yes.
You get turned into a vampire. Infamous vampire.
And you have to save yourself within
Andrew
like,
Yoon
the
on ShaqNews.com loved the shit out of it.
It's really? Cool, dude.
Yeah, he did a preview.
It's cool.
And loved you love it too.
It's a completely standalone different thing.
Vampires
it's just like
are hot
side
right now.
Thing.
It's like a side quest thing, but it's a substantial expansion.
Twilight, yeah. Vampire Diaries, True Blood.
Really?
No, they're all the rage.
Jeff, I trust your opinion. Like, I'm actually honestly asking.
I think it's pretty neat. I think it's pretty neat. Yeah, I do.
Okay. Fair enough.
We high-fived.
Zavdamatos. Not hockey related.
Shit. As an extension of what we were talking about a female character in Grand Theft Auto, I would love to hear people's opinion about the fact that the majority of games that are released are about burly-ass white dudes who are the lead character to save the world in almost every single experience that we have.
99% of games.
99% of games.
Editorial from 5 years ago, but still.
Really?
Yeah, we've been talking about it for a long time.
It doesn't matter if you're talking about it for a long time. It's relevant today because shit hasn't changed.
Shit ain't changed.
Just saying.
So clearly,
as
was
a female,
poorly written
how
editor.
Many protagonists do we have? Just saying.
To play devil's advocate, I'll just say that.
Says the white, brown haired dude that looks exactly like Nathan Drake.
If anybody's going to save the world, let's be honest, it's going to be a big, burly white dude.
or Tank Girl. And on that note, we will take it to the exit because that is your weekend confirmed. Unless you're sticking around for our crazy NFL prognostication, which will take about 2 minutes because we're done.
We are. It's late.
Drunk.
So done.
As your weekend confirmed, we are Ghost. In the same line too. You'll get my voice heard over these airwaves. All I gotta do to get me some airplay. Show you that I love you. Show you that I care. Show you that I listen. Show you that I'm here. I sold you all of that. I sold you everything. I gave my all to y'all. Following those are 3 rings. You know more about me. Anyone will ever know. In my love for you, I'll never let it go. You're the thing I ever wanted. You're the thing I ever needed. But I'm still struggling. Still competing for your love. Your heart. And you, always be together, never be apart. Even from the early start, I'll do anything for you. What?
I hope you got that.
I hope you got that. That is an excellent way
Can
to roll right
us?
Into this. She has her nose on the thing.
The poof.
On the poof. Nose on the poof.
Have a shovel. Anybody have a spatula we can peel her off the ground?
I'm not that drunk.
By the way,
really?
Did you guys realize that last week I won?
You did. I was terrible last week.
I won last week.
I haven't been playing now for like, what, 6 weeks?
She hasn't blinned.
Blinned. Hey, Kanata.
What's up?
You don't need to point out my imperfections.
I don't. They're evident. You're right.
You could play with us any weekend. However, I would like to point that out that I was winning, and I need to pull up my iPad, which has this week's picks. Jeff, we are picking the SF game.
Good,
because I figured that was a good one for you.
I mean, it's Cleveland, like so it's not.
But it's a big margin. Yeah, where is it? I put it in here someplace.
You were the one that wanted to roll right into it.
I could read off stats. Last week's stats are Garnet at 2-1, Jeff Kanata and Brooklyn and Del Rio and Jeff Mattis All at 1 and 2.
Yeah, did not do well.
Someone else is at 1 and 3. Yeah. He likes... Yeah. There you go. All right, so here you go. This week is... Oh, I can't zoom in on these. I took Broncos. The Broncos.
Tim Tebow era started.
They're getting a huge advantage.
The people are drinking the Kool-Aid on that guy. But, you know, it's hard
Sounds
to argue
gross.
With success.
All right, I really can't read this, but I think it was 8.5.
8.5.
Denver is that right?
At 8.5? Or are you saying the San Francisco game?
I'll look it up.
All right. What? Can you read yeah, the little print there?
Oh, yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah. Browns 8.5 over the Niners.
Browns 8.5. What do you think?
I'm going to say the Niners are going to cover.
You're going to cover 8.5?
I think they're going to win by 2 touchdowns.
Do I have to be in the room for this?
Yes.
I think Frank Gore has 100 and.
Oh, you're insane. Oh, you're insane.
158 yards rushing.
I'll put $100 on that right now.
I'm not
Whoa.
Gonna.
I will put $1,000 on that right now.
But he doesn't
Whoa.
Get. Do you think he gets a 100-yard game?
You said 150.
I did say that.
You said 150.
I think it's a route. I think it's a route. It's at home. They're at home, right?
I'm taking the Browns. Yeah. I am taking the Browns to make it up.
It's at home. We're coming off a bye. We're
San Francisco
well
wins. San Francisco wins, but they do not cover.
All right.
Andrea, where are you at this? Yeah. Quickly. Just take your gut choice. Gut check.
San Francisco.
Okay, San Francisco for her, Zav.
Who are the teams?
San Francisco
and Cleveland.
Go back to sleep, hockey.
I take San Francisco also. And in the booth, San Francisco for Brooklyn. I'm on Cleveland. Yeah, right. So when Cleveland covers, by the way, when Cleveland covers, I will be victorious once again. Thank
All
you
right.
very much. And
the
I will take
the second game
bank.
That you picked is your team.
Sunday night game.
The boys at
Eagles,
the Eagles.
Cowboys getting 4.
3.5. But
three
yeah.
and a half. This might as well be 4. 3.5 going
Eagles. Eagles have to win. They have to win this game.
Cowboys have to win,
do.
Too.
They've been underperforming this season, though. Like, they were the best team on paper at the beginning of the season. Like, the Eagles
yep.
looked invincible
yep.
on paper at the beginning of the season, and they've been such a disappointment.
So are you taking the Eagles?
No, I'm not. I'm taking Dallas. I honestly believe that Dallas is ready for a win. I think they've been
I love
within,
her.
I think they've been so close to having victory within the last couple of games. I think that they can really pull this out. I think they're going to find
we won last
Philadelphia's
week. We beat the shit out of the Rams.
I'm surprised they're getting 3.5, to be honest. I'm surprised.
So who are you taking?
I'm taking the Eagles.
You're taking the Eagles?
Yeah.
All right. Eagles for Kanata. Do you want to justify that at all, or you just go with that?
Yeah, they
You're
have been
that.
Playing below that. Yeah, I'm good with that.
Zav, are you taking anything here?
Who's playing again?
Dallas and Philadelphia.
I'll go with Dallas. Favorite to win.
All right, he's going with Dallas. Booth. Eagles for Del Rio. And Brooklyn. Brooklyn's going Dallas. Let me tell you what right here. That was not a fluke for DeMarco Murray. Okay, DeMarco Murray may have had like 200
they're
way plus.
They're shutting him down this week. They're shutting him down.
No. No, you know where they're shutting down? They're shutting down the passing attack because they do have a good pass defense. The Eagles have not stopped anybody on the run. They do not know how to stop a running attack.
Yeah, he surprised everybody. He's not a surprise anymore. They're going to game plan for him.
It doesn't matter that he's not a surprise. He's a quality back who set records at Oklahoma. He set records at OU. He
St.
set
Louis.
Records
College
at OU.
Ain't the NFL, son.
Oh, thank you. OU
just
pretty
saying.
OU
oh, no,
pretty
you
close.
Didn't.
OU pretty just close. Saying. Although I will say my Red Raiders did beat OU this week. Thank you very much. End the 39 game winning streak. Yes.
Is this All actually right. being recorded right now?
Taking the Cowboys. Yeah. And finally, Monday
Where,
night.
Brooklyn and Del Rio have to chime in on that one.
They did.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they're good.
Oh, sorry.
Monday
and last
night
but not least, we have the Chargers.
An game. It really is.
Chargers Chiefs.
Because Kansas City's been on fire the last couple of weeks.
Are you kidding me? They're terrible.
It doesn't matter if they're terrible. It doesn't matter if they're terrible. They're winning.
Okay.
They're having some amazing wins. Listen, I'm a San Diego fan. I
okay.
love San Diego. I think Phillip Rivers is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
He's been great
right now.
For fantasy. This oh,
it doesn't matter
right,
about fantasy. He is a great quarterback, hands down.
Sure, he is.
If he had a ring, people would be talking about him differently. And it's sad that just because he doesn't have a ring, that people aren't giving him the recognition
you
he deserves.
You gotta earn that ring.
If a chicken had lips, it would
you know
need
what?
A pecker.
It's a team sport, Kanata. It's a team sport. I'm just saying, he's a great quarterback, and I think he can lead them. And I think that, you know, there's definitely something to be said for that. Obviously, there was that big controversy with Rex Ryan this week, saying what he said about Norv Turner. Obviously, we all know about that, right?
Norv's a chode.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, as a former Cowboys fan,
Rex Ryan's
and who had formerly had him. Yep. All right, so where are you going with all this nonsense?
I have to go San Diego. I think they're a stronger team overall.
You're giving up four.
Yes. Yeah. San Diego.
Garnett?
The Chiefs couldn't score on this team to save their lives. Are you kidding me? I'm Chargers.
It'll be fluke scores.
Lightning bolts. The bolts all the way.
San Diego.
Yeah, I'm taking the bolts as well, and I think it's a turn off the game at the first half. Yeah. I think it's a, okay, I can go watch something else tonight.
Chargers for Brooklyn. And for Zav?
I'll take the Chargers only just so I can say that the Leafs are playing really well right now.
Leafs are playing right now very well. And for Del Rio?
I don't know how they're connected.
Chargers, son of a bitch.
Fuck yeah, you are, Del Rio. Take the Chargers, yeah.
I'd like to point out that overall I'm still in the lead with, at 9-5.
Son of a bitch, there you go. That's your Mikers, Mark, I do and Beer thank, Infused. Weekend Confirmed. Thank you very much for joining us. We love you.
Nice. Drop the mic.
Kisses.
Good night.
I was going to thank the people who did the Weekend Confirmed Fantasy Hockey League as well, but that's fine.
Good night. Right. Weekend Confirmed is brought to you by the Gamefly app, the must-have app for gamers. The app is free and available now for iPhone, Android, and Palm mobile devices.